Live from the Allstate Showcase Studio. This is the Steve Cochran Show on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
I sound a great tune this morning. We don't need John DeCoste for music. Listen how good I sound. And two, three. Oh, we're on? How embarrassing for me. Coming up on 6:12, would you move my Andrew Jackson portrait 4 inches to the right in case any Native Americans come in this morning?
Yeah, and don't even think of calling me Pocahontas.
Wow.
Could you believe that?
Well, is this in the top six? I forgot what I wrote.
It is.
All right, we'll save it for that then. Okay. Top six at six coming up in just a second. Also on the program this morning, the Steve Cochran Show. By the way, hi, I'm Steve, your radio friend. This is show number 1039, November 28th. Date your checks to the show accordingly. At Cochran Show on Twitter, Facebook.com/Steve Cochran Show, and 312-981-7200 is my telephone number. You probably know your own. The Woodstock Choir will be in later. 22 students singing holiday tunes.
Yay.
That'll be good.
They're always so good.
I believe they're doing holiday tunes. They may be doing something else. We got a Hawker Riddle later for free Hawks tickets. And an embarrassing story about a parking garage we can tell you about.
That involves you and John.
That's the best.
Really sounds terrible the way it was explained. And Coach Q will be on the show today as well. That's all coming up. At 6:13, Mary Vandeveld's on the seventh floor. How are you?
I'm good. Getting in the holiday mood.
Have you done any shopping yet?
Yeah.
Do any cyber shopping?
I did not touch cyber shopping.
Well, you know who's the queen of that is Andrea Darlis.
You get most of your shopping done
during the show. How much did you do off air?
I didn't buy anything during the show. I just looked during the show to get ideas.
So you scanned.
I called it show prep.
Okay. Well, you call it anything.
Since
you
I did the big story on two cyber.
Yes, yeah. Of course. So well, how much did you spend? Ballpark.
Oh, I would say a couple hundred.
Oh, that's not much for you.
No. Okay.
But you had to pay shipping.
No, I had one issue because the Cyber Monday thing is free shipping. So I went on one site and bought what I needed to, and then I didn't get free shipping. They had a minimum purchase. You know, like you have to spend $40.
This is after you made the purchase or you bailed?
Well, I went in my shopping cart and I pulled one of those. I'm going to try and inch up to, you know, the $40 minimum in order to get the free shipping. So I was buying little things that I didn't necessarily need but had to have to buy the free shipping.
You know, you can go into a store and actually ship it yourself.
What?
Put it in your car and drive it home.
What?
Yeah, no, it's crazy talk.
How do you do that?
Steve Grzanich, did you buy anything on Cyber Monday?
Yeah, I was disappointed. I had my eyes set on a couple of things and didn't. And then the worst news of the morning is their cookies, Christmas cookies up here. It's the earliest Christmas cookies of the season so far.
Well, why is that bad news for you?
Well, because, you know, if you start eating Christmas cookies on November 28th, by the time Christmas rolls around, there's going to be a problem.
Those were made for us from a lady in Wisconsin.
What's your name?
Chris Iverson.
Hi, Chris. Thank you.
She makes them for my husband every year, and this year she made a lot.
How long has she been fooling around with your husband?
I don't know. They have this thing. She has to make those cocoa chocolate cookies
balls
for him every year, and I don't get it. I don't even want to know why.
There's a lot going on there.
Have you heard of the
A lot of backstory in that story.
Uh-huh. Have you heard of the Instapot, Steve?
Instapot? What's Instapot?
I've got that.
Is that a porta potty?
Oh, I bought it. Jackie bought it for me last year. It's the best thing ever.
Is it like a crock pot?
It's a pressure cooker. Electric pressure cooker.
Oh, that's what Steve was talking about before. Yeah.
What's it called?
The Instapot.
Phenomenal.
Instapot.
Is it just that you can make your meals in less than 6 to 8 hours?
Less than 6 to 8 minutes.
And it's phenomenal.
Ah.
You just
throw everything in and stand back. And
right.
Well, that's a little.
Actually, it's not like a bomb, Steve.
I would hope not.
The cooking time is actually about 15 minutes, but it takes 45 minutes to get to the pressure. Mm-hmm. So it's not like it is quicker, though, and it's phenomenal.
So there's not as much prep involved?
No, you just throw it in there. I made beef stew last night, and we'll have it for the next 4 months.
Yeah, it sort of mixes a crock pot with a pressure cooker. That's the two together.
So
cool.
All right, so put that on your list, the Instapot.
Instapot.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, I just scored big on Cyber Monday.
What'd you get?
Joseph A. Banks. Jackie, my wife told me to do this. I had
this is radio. You don't have to wear a suit.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Oh, son of a gun. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. So there's a sweater. It's a cardigan sweater, vest sweater I want to wear for New Year's Eve.
Okay.
And it's $129.
Yeah.
I put it in the shopping cart, mm-hmm. Left it there. They kept bugging me, kept giving me deals. It was 2-for-1 as of Sunday. Yesterday, they gave me it for $45 free shipping.
No.
Wow. So I saved.
I never knew that. So if you leave something in your internet shopping cart, they eventually come after you.
I don't know. That's what they did. They came to the house.
Did you know that trick?
Yeah, I knew that. I didn't know.
Who am I asking?
No.
I'm asking.
No, I didn't know that. That's a really good deal.
Bill Gates of cyber shopping.
No, if you leave stuff in your cart, you'll get reminders sometimes. Yeah. You know, like, hey, don't forget to check out.
Yeah.
You'll get these reminders that say, don't forget to check out. But they'll sometimes say, if you buy $5 more, we'll give you free shipping. But the deal that you got, that's
unbelievable.
Fantastic.
Yeah, John, I'm going to have to do that. I'm going to put some stuff in my carts.
There you go.
Mike Jacobson, I got you a used White Sox hat. Which I don't know if you own one currently, like one you could wear every day to work.
It's so nice of you. I've been looking for one.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, something maybe black and white.
It's black with the white and the black socks lettering. Yeah, and it's slightly worn. It's been worn every day to work for the last 2 years. But I don't know. I think you'll like it.
You just know me so well.
You're getting emotional, aren't you, just thinking about it? Choked up already.
Did you get free shipping?
Yeah, I'm bringing it to him.
Okay, good.
Yeah, I'm picking it up and I'm handing it to him.
Speaking of leaving something, do you want me to tell
you? Not yet. We have a text question coming up related to John and sleep deprivation. It's 6:17. Let's do this traffic update, and then we'll come back and do the top 6 at 6, including President Donald Trump offending the Indian nation, the nation of Native Americans. Yeah. That whole thing. First, here's Mary.
In the lovely Sunrise Hotel.
It's time to get your kicks.
Get your kicks.
With the top 6 at 6. Sponsored by American Weathermakers, the home of the 60 Minute Man.
Let's start local. Luis Gutierrez is retiring from Congress. He will not run for re-election. They are trying to figure out who could be set up to succeed him. Is there somebody in line that you're aware of?
Chuy Garcia. Chuy Garcia is the first to say he's going to run. Gutierrez has held that seat since 1993, and you remember Chuy Garcia, of course, ran against Mayor Emanuel in the runoff election 2 years ago.
What's the relationship with Gutierrez and Garcia, do you know?
I think it's decent. I know they have a good working relationship with each other.
So would Gutierrez campaign for Garcia?
I don't know. I don't know the answer to that, only because it's so early and maybe somebody else might throw, I'm sure other people are going to throw their names into that ring. But Garcia has kind of made a pattern of running for, he also said he wanted to run for Cook County Board President. So you don't want to make yourself too, you know, ubiquitous.
The guy that runs for anything.
Yeah, exactly. So,
well, that'd be J.B. Pritzker, wouldn't it?
Kind of, yeah.
Now, there was a report yesterday that Gutierrez, one of his calls before he made his announcement, was to Garcia personally.
Oh, okay.
So who knows? They may be working together.
We will see. Next, speaking of J.B. Pritzker, how much do you think he made last year? Taxable income. Oh. Anyone? That's right, $15
million. Millions.
$15 million in taxable income. Okay. Chris Kennedy, his Democratic opponent for governor, lists income last year at $1.2 million. In both cases, more than the rest of us. Next. Sometimes I can't find my fake paper fast enough. After the first day of filing petition to run for 17 Cook County Board seats, there's already 10 Democratic primary contests. Do we know
Chuy Garcia? No.
No, if our friend, the former best guest of the year, is she getting a primary challenge?
We don't know that yet. That's a great question. There's 10 different, as you just said, there's 10 different people vying to fill these Democratic seats, and each race is going to be interesting, I got to tell you, especially the one to replace
Robert Steele. Well, see if Bridget Gaynor's got a primary opponent.
As of this story, she does not. But that's not to say that someone won't file a petition today or won't file their candidacy today.
Next. Two bosses, one job. Yesterday, two acting directors of the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau showed up for work. Mick Mulvaney, President Trump's appointee, who also is in charge of the budget stuff, he stopped at Dunkin' Donuts on the way in and brought donuts. Leander English, a holdover from the Obama administration, didn't bring donuts. I wonder who the employees are going to vote for. Mulvaney, a winner by a glazed.
Yeah.
Next!
Wow.
I'm going to save the Trump thing for last. Let me go live to Mike Jacobson, who's at the United Center, after Alex DeBrinket had a hat trick last night on the way to a huge Blackhawk night. A 7-2 win, is that right?
Was it 7-3.
7-3. This is the most goals since opening night?
Yeah, it was good. It was a good night for Derek. Oh, hold on, I got Coach Q here. Actually, hey, you know, Brinksy, had a good game. You know, he was out there. You know, he Dunks played well. And so
wow, it's almost like you're channeling him. It's incredible. I got goosebumps.
You know, I'm going to be on with Steve Cochran at 8:40. We'll talk about it more then.
That's good. You got a little bit of Foxy in there too. Yeah. So the kid gets three goals.
Yeah, he looked incredible last night.
He's 19, right?
He's 19 years old. He's not a big guy.
And he doesn't look 19. He looks younger than 19.
He looks about 50.
So what happens when you're 19 you get a hat trick? Do you go to Dairy Queen after? Does your mom take you? I mean, what happens?
Grand Slams. Denny's.
Denny's. Well, it's exciting. All right, do your fancy out.
Mike Jacobson, live from the United Center, WGN Sports. Thanks, Coach. Thanks, Mike.
Right. Yeah, say hi to Coach for me. And then there's this. Yesterday, in a White House honor for Native American code talkers who were crucial in breaking codes and creating intelligence that helped us win World War II. These are 90-plus-year-old Native Americans, absolute heroes. Inexplicably, the White House held their honor in front of a portrait of Andrew Jackson. Andrew Jackson, he responsible for the Trail of Tears. He's the one that wrote the Indian Removal Law, or signed the Indian Removal Law, caused the death, legalized the death and expulsion of thousands of Native Americans. The ceremony was in front of the Andrew Jackson portrait. Would you have a ceremony for African American heroes in front of a Klan picture? Mm-hmm. This is what we're talking about here.
Right. Or in front of, say, General
Lee. It doesn't matter that he's president of the United States. It doesn't matter that times were different.
No.
He wrote the Indian Removal, or signed the Indian Removal Law. It was a big reason that it went into play.
There's no excuse for it. You know, none at all. And if you have a chance to see the movie, there was a movie called Code Talkers with Nicolas Cage. Mm-hmm. It was a wonderful movie about these Native American, and you call them heroes, Steve. That's exactly what they were.
Absolutely.
Because they found out actually where the enemy was.
There's another piece to this yesterday as well, and I don't need to see anybody on CNN or Fox or MSNBC talking about the great strategy of Donald Trump and Donald Trump playing to his base. This was an ad lib and a ridiculous ad lib. You can tell by his stumbling way he tried to get out of it when it laid an egg. Mm-hmm. This is Donald Trump speaking to Native American code talkers yesterday.
So that was the ultimate statement from General Kelly, the importance. And I just want to thank you because you're very, very special people. You were here long before any of us were here. Although we have a representative in Congress who they say was here a long time ago. They call her Pocahontas. But you know what? I like you. And I have to, from the heart.
And he sort of stumbled afterwards. First off, they don't call her Pocahontas. You call her Pocahontas.
Right.
And I don't need to, again, hear from texters, and there's only a couple of you, but who say Pocahontas is not a slur. Unless you're a Native American, you don't get to make that call.
Right.
Pocahontas is a racial slur, mm-hmm. as determined by the people who are offended by it.
It's unbelievable. You know, she did take the high road, too. She told Anderson Cooper last night he just wants to talk about something else. He's trying to divert attention to everything that's going on with
him.
He's
not trying to divert anything. He is an idiot. He is the president. Listen, let's stop beating around the bush. The president of the United States is a dumb human being.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
This is where you should get the taser out, Mike, and hit me because I'm about to go down that road.
Last June, that's when he questioned the legitimacy of Elizabeth Warren's Native American heritage claim. During his presidential bid, that's when he started with
Pocahontas. But that's politics. If you want to question whether or not she's playing that game, then question it. You don't need to throw in Pocahontas.
Especially during a ceremony for the
And who on the White House staff decided that room in front of that portrait?
See, that's the question Was that done on purpose? Was it done purposely? It seems like it was.
So who on the staff would decide that's the way to go?
I don't know. Who's the guy with the...
Protocol? What's the office to make sure that these meetings don't have these kind of faux pas in them? There was a Goldie Hawn movie about it like 30 years ago where you're the person in charge of making sure that when you meet other people, you don't offend them or offend their culture.
Is that position even filled in this White House?
Yeah, by Gilbert Gottfried. It's 6:32. We'll come back with the big story next on 720 WGN. And we'll do the Kid of the Week shortly here as well. American Weathermakers Heating and Cooling, the 60 Minute Men, bring you the top 6 at 6.
Live from the Allstate Showcase Studio, this is the Steve Cochran Show on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
We're going to talk to a friend of ours from Allstate and talk Allstate Kid of the Week here in a second. Before we do that, John DeCosta is here, musical director of the program, amongst other titles that he claims he has. I don't know if they're true or not. I don't pay that much attention to the show. We've got a lot to accomplish today, John. Let's start with a blatant plug for New Year's Eve. Where are we going to be?
We are going to be at the Tivoli, downtown Downers Grove, second year we've been there. We can't wait. New Year's Eve, 7 o'clock show. One show, and to get those tickets, you just simply go to eventbrite.com.
So why don't we give away, not now,
yeah,
but later on, let's give away a pair of tickets to New Year's Eve.
I'd love to.
They're worth what, $1 million, $1.5 million?
I think a little higher this year, 1.7.
You know what, though, for a lot of people, is this is becoming a tradition.
It should be.
We all go, we go to the show, and then, you know, then you can go party. And
it's an all-new show this year, meaning I'm wearing different clothes.
Oh.
No, it's an all-new
show.
It
is an all-new show. It's a lot of different things happening.
And I won't be on Death's Door this year, which would be nice for the audience.
That would be wonderful.
So, again, where do we get tickets?
Go to eventbrite.com.
Okay, and later on, we're going to play the match game.
Oh, yes.
With the staff here, and the winner will get tickets.
Perfect.
When we play that later on.
Perfect.
All right, now, John did something this morning, which I think is the text question of the day. What's the dumbest thing you've done because you were sleep-deprived?
Oh, okay? God.
You're sleep deprived, and he did something really stupid.
Can we hear what he did?
Yeah, go ahead.
Oh yeah, I went to my bank, went to the ATM, put my card in to get cash, pulled my card out, drove away, and wasn't about 25 minutes later, I realized I never took my cash.
Left the money sitting in the machine.
Oh no! Did you go back?
No.
Oh, what? What?
No, I was halfway.
It's too late.
Yeah.
Get out of town.
Plus, here's my question, because I'm almost positive that the ATM eats your card. If you leave your card in the machine, eventually the ATM will take it back for security reasons. Does it take the cash back?
That's a good question.
You know,
and
what?
Does it give me credit that they got it?
Since today's Giving Tuesday, maybe a homeless person walked by, took the cash, used it to buy a meal.
See, you gave
What color
back.
Is this guy?
Yeah, wow. Right.
It wasn't a lot of
Or
cash.
That could have happened.
Or that, right.
Either way, it's a lovely holiday gift for the next person at the ATM.
There you go. Right. You're paying it forward. Can you write that off?
Write off the fact that you were a dope and you left your money in the machine?
I don't know. Ask your accountant.
I think it's a dopey deduction. So that's your text question of the day. What's the dumbest thing you've done because you were sleep deprived? Okay. Texters 312-981-7200 is the number. At 6:44, just ahead of traffic, let me say hi to our Allstate agent this morning. It was nice enough to get in and come in. It's Jesse Ortega. Good morning, sir.
Good morning.
Where's your agency?
It's in Avondale, Chicago, 3238 North Elston Avenue.
How long have you been an Allstate agent?
I've been an Allstate agent since March. Very new.
And how is business?
It's great. It's lots of fun.
And but it's a big deal starting a new business. It's a big deal starting a career. It's a big deal managing your own deal.
It is, and it's not too new. It's been a family agency for a long time. I bought from Dad
in
March, so it's kind of nice to continue that legacy.
Does he still come by and tell you how to do your job?
He stays home a lot.
Oh, does he?
He does.
I assume that's a good thing?
It is. He was supposed to partner up with me, but he took a sniff at retirement and said, I'm staying home.
But when you have questions, do you call and ask?
Oh, absolutely. We still have customers that look for him and will want to make appointments with him. He's a good sport.
Had you worked at the agency as a kid in some way?
I did. I spent 10 years working for Dad, supporting him.
Oh, well, you know what you're doing.
I know what I'm doing.
Yeah, exactly.
I think the business owner, though, that's kind of like the new thing for me.
Sure, right. Because it's responsibility. It's got your name on it now.
That's right.
What's the number there?
773-539 2332.
And Avondale was recognized, I think, last month as one of the nation's top 10 hottest need to visit neighborhoods in the country.
Is that right?
Yeah, it's pretty cool. By CurbChicago.com.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's Avondale now. That's the place to be.
It is.
And what's the biggest draw other than Jesse?
Well, Jesse. First and foremost, yeah.
No. Yeah, but other than you, sell Avondale. Yeah. Why am I going to Avondale?
Well, you know how traffic is in Chicago, right? We've got a handy little expressway called the 90. And, I mean, you get to O'Hare, you get to downtown, you get to where you need to get to quick.
Some of the best restaurants, too. Kuma's, yeah. Revolution Brewery, and,
Parachutes,
of course,
is there.
Yeah. Honey Butter Fried Chicken.
Thursdays.
Ooh. But I'm confused, Jesse. Are you taking credit for the Kennedy?
I was going to say.
Because it's almost rush hour. I'm not sure that's a positive for you. At 6:46, we'll come back, tell you about the Kid of the Week, and tell you more about Jesse, too, because I want to ask you about the night ministry.
Live from the Allstate Showcase Studio.
That's Allstate, Stan. Are you in good hands?
This is the Steve Cochran Show on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
The sleep-deprived are checking in already. 224 traveled for 10 hours, stopped at the hotel, couldn't understand why the clerk was looking at me funny. I was insisting my Jewel Preferred card could be used to pay for my room.
That's great.
I've got points. Why can't I use it? 847 was on a 24-hour snowplow shift, lost my wedding ring.
Oh.
3 months later, I found it in the recliner where I fell asleep when I got home.
Oh, no.
Oh, good. Yeah, that's a good story.
Found it, yeah.
Ended well. Let's see. I drove to my old job instead of my new job when I was sleep deprived.
Oh, okay. I can see doing that.
Have you ever done that?
No, when I used to get fired all the time, I didn't know where I worked. Get up in the morning and say, somebody remind me. Forgot to put the cup under the Keurig after I cleaned it up and did the same thing again.
Yes. Oh. I've actually done that too.
Oh, by the way, yesterday I was hanging out with the world's greatest grandchild, Abigail Grace Cochran, who will turn 2 in December.
Yes.
And we're hanging out, and she wanted to make me pretend coffee.
Oh.
So Ross and Lauren, they have these hardwood floors in the entryway, and I don't know if you know this, I have bad knees. I've said before that Abigail could get me to do anything, so thank God she hasn't said, hey, rob a bank. Yeah.
But you don't even drink pretend coffee.
In this case,
okay,
made an exception. Okay. But she said, with that adorable little face, pop, sit, pop, sit, pop, sit.
On the floor.
And I thought, with my knees, if I sit on this hardwood floor,
I'm going to have to
call for a spotter.
Right. You'll never get up.
Yeah. So, no, I got up,
uh-huh.
But I'm sure I made one of those loud noises in pain. And as I stood up, I looked back at her, and she had this look on her face and went, you know, my father doesn't do that.
Right.
I think there's something wrong with you.
You know what she was probably thinking, Steve? Gotcha. Right here, baby.
Oh, she does.
Yeah, right here in the palm of the
hand. And the good news is her pretend coffee was delightful.
Okay.
Yes, I much prefer the pretend coffee over the real coffee that I don't drink. Hey, let me introduce you to our Allstate Kid of the Week, Allstate agent again. Jesse's here. It's Jesse Ortega. The name of the agency is?
Ortega Family Agency.
And in your family for how long?
Gosh, in our family for 25 years.
All right, there you go. Allstate believes good starts young and works towards inspiring the next generation of leaders to reach their full potential and make the world a better place through service. In the spirit of Allstate's Good Starts Young initiative, you can always help us recognize a kid that goes above and beyond for the community. Nominate a kid for the Allstate Kid of the Week. They win great stuff, amazing Amazon gift cards, Lou Malnati's Pizza, and go to WGNradio.com/contest to submit an entry for a kid between 9 and 18 that you think ought to be the Allstate Kid of the Week, and we'll do it every Tuesday. Before I talk about this Kid of the Week, what is the night ministry that you're involved with, Jesse?
The night ministry, it's a shelter essentially that takes homeless kids. I volunteered recently. I have to give credit to Shar Schoenbeck, who pulled some agents together to raise $5,000 for this organization. But they essentially just take in homeless kids. They take them how they are, you know, and help them get on their feet, you know, eventually when they get old enough, find their own place of living, find jobs.
Yeah, I understand that's a big part of it, right? Everybody there, including the volunteers, try to empower these kids to realize that they can make great choices in their life and maximize their potential.
That's correct. Yeah, the key word is to empower them to go on their own.
Well, that's great. This week's Kid of the Week is Dominique Duvalier. Dominique goes to Alcott High School. Dominique apparently this morning is out helping other people because he was supposed to be here, and he couldn't be here. But let me tell you about it. Dominique has become such an impactful leader in the CPS Student Advisory Council, a group of students who work with the CPS district to create youth-driven policy change, that he was nominated by several different organizations and people as well. They created initiatives to bring awareness to underfunded neighborhood schools, advocacy to the LGBT community, and as a leader, they've taken on the role of educating peers on gender identities and how spaces that support young people can uphold inclusiveness, not exclusivity. Everybody's biggest cheerleader, Dominique, empowers their peers to advocate for issues that they're passionate about. And that's a great thing for a kid to do.
Absolutely.
You know, be proud of who you are, whoever you are. Wait, did I just invent a T-shirt?
That's good.
Be proud of who you are, whoever you are. Write that down, John.
Yeah, done.
Okay. It's a big responsibility. It takes a very special person to start an initiative like this and get people to follow you. Which
up for others.
Yeah, what Dominique has
done.
Yes.
Takes guts. Mm-hmm. So, Dominique, congratulations on being Kid of the Week. And, Jesse, since Dominique couldn't join us this morning, we'll give you all of his prizes.
Oh, that sounds great.
All right, Jesse, give folks the number of your agency one more time.
773-539-2332.
All right, thank you, sir. Nice to meet you.
Thank you, Steve.
Appreciate you coming by. Congratulations to Dominique, and keep up the fine work, young man. All-State Kid of the Week every Tuesday. All right, Jake, let's do this. Let's take a break, come back, and set you up for the news top of the hour next on 720 WGN. Again, text question of the day, sleep-deprived. Dumbest thing you've ever done, sleep-deprived. Everybody on the show is sleep-deprived. I expect you all to have hilarious, creative answers coming up. In other words, if you don't have a story, make it up.
You just want to make fun of us.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Sponsored by Four Seasons Heating, Air Conditioning, and Plumbing. How about a little celebration of that huge night for the Hawks last night with the Hawks replay?
The Chicago Blackhawks host Hockey Fights Cancer Night here at the United Center tonight, and Anaheim is in town to provide the opposition in the first of three games this season. Hartman's got it. Hartman corrals a bouncing puck, put it in the front shot. He scores! His first goal in 16 games! Patrick Sharp let it rip from the left circle. Gibson stopped his first attempt, but not this time. It's 1-0 Hawks. Brink wide pass up the left wing center ice to Schmaltz. Steps in over the duck line, gave it to DeBrinket. He drops it off to Seabrook at the line. He fires. That's wide. Now DeBrinket with a pass. He scores! Set up perfectly by Nick Schmaltz. Down to the right circle. Saad rolls into the slot. Shoots and scores! Brandon Saad! He snaps it over the blocker of Gibson into the top left corner. And the Hawks are leading 3-0 with 1:49 left in the first period. The high slot and Anisimov. Todrak fires. He scores! Power play goal for Artem Anisimov. Make it 8 in the month of November. And a 4-0 Hawks lead. He'll put it in front. They score. It's Andrew Cogliano at the top of the crease. Deflecting that pass past Corey Crawford. Got it back. Fires. They score! It's Alex DeBrincat. Right place at the right time. Hartman had trouble corralling that pass, and the rookie DeBrincat picks up his second of the night. 5-1 Hawks. Into the Hawk zone. Cogliano, the right circle. Drop pass. A shot by Wagner. He scores. It's now 5-2. Favor the Hawks. Retain the other way. A 2-on-1 with DeBrincat over the duck line to DeBrincat. And he scores! Hat trick for the rookie, Alex DeBrincat. His third goal of the night. It's a power play goal. And the Hawks now lead the Ducks 6-2, and here come the Hats. And a pass up the left wing, Kane over the duck line, floats it in front, the Schmaltz, he just scores! Nick Schmaltz, you can see the play developing, and Schmaltz read Kane perfectly, and Kane did likewise. Schmaltz raced to the front of the net and deflected that pass from Kane, Pack Miller, and the Hawks get the goal right back, and now lead 7-3.
Is it just me, or are there less hats thrown now for hat tricks?
They're more expensive, and people don't want to lose their hats.
I think that's it.
Yeah.
I think that's it, and they're cooler. I mean, to get some Blackhawks gear, like a cool Blackhawks cap, right? You're not going to throw it on the ice.
No.
Hey, Alex, congratulations. You can't have my hat.
But also think about it back in the you know, the 50s when you see those photos.
They're throwing derbies.
They've all got hats. Yeah. Everybody wore hats. Yeah. Now it's not so many.
Did they collect them and at the end you could pick them up?
At the hat return? Yeah. I don't know what happened to the old hat. Anyway, congratulations to the kid. Alex DeBrincat. How great is it that you look at Patrick Kane and Jonathan Toews and go, boy, the old guys really have a backup plan now, and it's the kid, Alex DeBrincat. Man, he didn't like the cat name, right?
No, he did not. I don't know why.
How about the kid? The kid's a cool name.
Yeah. I like
the
it.
Kid. The sniper. The kid.
Okay.
All right, I'll get back to you. It's 7:01. This is Chicago's very own 720 WGN Chicago.
Live from the Allstate Showcase Studio. This is the Steve Cochran Show on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
All right, 7-Eleven. I'm about to tell you a story that's separate from the sleep-deprived story. Just because the producer of the program, Sandberg, wanted to mock me. And frankly, she should. But in addition to that, I'm a little concerned this may be one of those you had to be there stories. So you're going to have to visualize a little bit with us. But just keep in mind that I'm an idiot. Just ahead of that, however, let me remind you, the text question again, sleep deprived. What's the dumbest thing you did while being sleep deprived? Let's see here. Oh, first off, we've got so many dumb going on here. This started with you leaving money in the ATM, John DeCoste.
Yes.
You took your car, drove away. Drove away, realized 20 minutes later you never grabbed the money.
Never took the money, right.
Okay, so from the 708, tell John, check with the bank about your money. I didn't take money out of the ATM in time, and the money retracted back.
Oh, okay.
So it may go back.
Oh, that's a good idea. Thank you.
Your account's credited.
Oh, that would be wonderful.
Well, not so wonderful for the guy behind you who's hoping for a payday.
Since it's Giving Tuesday, John said he's giving backwards.
A retractable giving thing. Yes. 847, so sleep deprived with the birth of a new baby girl, I got up early one morning and brushed my teeth with Desitin diaper rash ointment.
Ooh.
Tasty.
More of a rash on his gums.
630, cooked a frozen pizza, didn't remove the cardboard at the bottom. That'd start a fire, wouldn't it?
Yeah. It doesn't. I made that mistake before, but I wasn't sleep deprived when I did it. It was when I was a teen.
Was the cardboard tasty?
No, but it made the bottom of the pizza crust soggy.
So the cardboard didn't catch fire?
It didn't catch fire, no. I think you'd have to have it
so
in
much
there
better
for a really
story
long
if the
time.
Cardboard caught fire.
I know. Maybe because it's been in the freezer and it's kind of damp.
Oh, okay.
And sometimes the cardboard's actually better than the pizza, taste-wise.
Depends on the pizza.
Yeah.
Yeah. 815, I was in the military police coming off my third consecutive 12-hour shift about 15 minutes before change of shift. I parked the car behind a maintenance building, just closed my eyes for a second. I woke up an hour and a half later to find out they'd been searching for me because everyone thought I was either dead or kidnapped. So, 312-981-7200, sleep-deprived stories, and apparently your money's going to be okay.
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
All right, so what day was it?
Last Friday. Tuesday.
Tuesday, it was Tuesday.
Tuesday, when we were at SNL.
Last Tuesday, we were over at the Museum of Broadcast Communications to do a show from the Saturday Night Live experience, the exhibit, which I highly recommend that you go and you see. I got family coming into town, it's a good thing. I have no GPS chip in my brain. Technology has made me even dumber when it comes to this, but I'm telling you, I could tell you how to get to where I go every day. I couldn't tell you the roads. I couldn't tell you anything about how it happens. I can just tell you how to get there. But when it comes to walking out into a parking garage and finding my car, unless I've specifically made a note of a mental or an actual physical note of where the car is, there's not a chance I will find it.
Why don't you take a picture?
That's okay. Andrea, that's what I said. So Steve,
now hold on.
Steve, John, and I were leaving the SNL.
But hold on before you tell the story, just to reinforce this. 1985, six, somewhere in there. I flew from Miami to New York. I was working in Miami for 10 minutes at that point. And I parked my car at the Miami International Airport. And there at the Miami International Airport in 1985, with no cell phones, I got on the plane and I left. As the plane was landing, I thought, I have no idea where my car is. Oh, and I happened to have a set of golf clubs and a big old piece of luggage. This is before you had wheeled luggage as well. Mm-hmm. I walked up and down the entire parking ramp before I found it on the one floor I didn't check.
Oh, God.
Is that a male thing where you wouldn't have asked one of the attendants to just cart you around?
I think it's not an idiot thing. I think it's an idiot thing. All right, so I go on Tuesday, and I park in this parking garage across the street from the museum.
Yeah. Shouldn't be a problem. I parked in the same garage.
And you also, this is not a strength for you, but you, the GPS thing, but you do have some weird Rain Man-like ability in parking garages.
I'm an idiot savant when it comes to parking garages.
All right, so you and I and John are walking out, and I don't have any idea where my car is in this
Well,
parking
you
garage.
Don't say that, though.
No, I wouldn't admit it.
I said, I'm parked on 3. I know this because I took a picture. Mm-hmm. Also in parking garages, because it can be confusing, I always make sure that I park going down. Like, I go up and then come back down because I think it's easier to I'll get out faster because I
so you'll go until you find a down space.
Yeah, I'll go up and then come back down before I'll park.
That's legit.
Yeah, because I like to I think that it's
well,
I'm tricking the system. So we I said, do you guys know what floor you're on? I'm on 3. And you said, I'm on 2. And so we got in the elevator, we hit 2, we the elevator's open, and it's another lobby where you can pay, and we're looking at Trump Tower.
Yeah, that's right. I parked my car in the lobby.
No vehicles. So you're like, oh, I must be on 3 with you. So we get to 3, we get out. My car is right next to the elevator, so I see my car. And you're like kind of looking around. You're like, I think I'm here. And I'm like, are you parked on the up or the down? And you said, I'm parked on the up. That's you were driving up when you parked.
Uh-huh.
And I said, well, I can take you guys to your car because I'm parked right here. And John's got a bum knee too, so, you know. And so you have John get in my car. He basically threw you into the vehicle.
Yes, well, it's because there were two cars behind you already.
I know. Yes. So you
and they
said,
were just wanting to get on with their day. Yeah.
You threw John into my car and you said, I'll walk to the car. I'm like, okay. So then because I'm parked
it's only 7 floors. It's got to be in here somewhere.
Because I'm parked on the down, I have to go down to go back up again to find your car.
Okay, so. Now here's the part you don't know. I then took the elevator back to 2 where we just were. Where you knew you couldn't find any other cars because it's only an exit to the lobby.
The lobby, right.
So when I got to 2, I went, oh, yeah, I'm not on 2.
Oh, my God.
So you made the same double mistake.
So then I returned to 3, got out of the elevator, walked over to...
And then, hang on. In the meantime, I have gone down and then driven up, and we find your vehicle.
Yes, she found it right away.
So I tell John, well, I'm not just going to leave him by the car.
Right.
But then cars started coming up behind me. I'm like, you got to get out.
So Steve threw me in. She threw me out.
So I threw him out next to Steve's car.
So at this point, John's standing by the Tahoe.
Yes.
And I go back down again, winding back down. And then I pass the same elevator where I had come out to get into my vehicle, where John was thrown into my car. And there's Steve standing there.
You're still in the elevator at that point?
No. I came
right
back
outside
up.
The-
I came back up. But I'm 9 feet from where I was. So by her count, it's 3 minutes later. I've moved 9 feet.
Nowhere, yeah. You haven't even moved.
So I said, hey, I know where your car is. If you want to get in, I'll take
No.
Car.
Well, that's not what you said.
And did he say, oh, no, I'm okay, Mary.
You
I can
were
find it
laughing
myself.
Hysterically. Well, and as you funny. Caught your breath, you said, hey, I know where your car is.
And what did you say? Did you say, I got it?
No, yeah. I got in the car at that point.
And I drove and wound back up. And then John saw us coming, Steve in my car. So I made the same trip twice. You know, he saw that I had to pick up Steve because Steve couldn't find. He never would have found his car. You were heading down on that ramp, and your car was up there. You never would have found it.
And I swear again.
That was the best moment. Go ahead.
If I ever take you, any listeners listening right now, if I ever take you to a parking garage, no, you'll never see your family again. I'm telling you right now.
I would pay an enormous amount of money to get the footage from every security camera in that garage and put a little montage together of Sandberg circling going, hey, I found your car. Get in here.
Plus, with your patience for people that don't know what they're doing.
I know. I'm so impatient.
Why didn't you guys just call each other?
Well, here's the thing. Hello. So I'm standing behind his car. I'm calling him to let him know. But then I look over and I can see the other ramp. And I just see Mary whipping by thinking, she can't get out now. And then
I'm sure that's what she was thinking.
They double back, and I see Steve in the passenger seat. I lost it.
I was bent over when I took John to the car, he said, you know, I hope you're able to get out. And I'm like, parking garages are designed for people to get in and out.
Right, right.
Not to be trapped inside the garage.
And most of the parking garages in Chicago have, you know, themes, you know, either sports themes or Millennium Park, something like that.
O'Hare's parking garage. O'Hare was designed for me because it's got sports themes with their theme song.
Playing.
I've lost my car there, too.
Yeah. That's why you got to take a picture. Or did you ever just take your keys? Doesn't it make a little doot doot?
Well, you know, they had the thing, too, where you could take like a piece of paper, like when you're walking. Remember that? You'd rip off a piece of paper. It was like a stack of Post-it notes.
Yes.
And you'd shove it in your pocket or your wallet or whatever you knew where your car was. I lost the paper.
Oh, jeez. Next time, why don't you just take a cab?
There you go.
Uber it.
Yeah.
No.
We delayed you.
Give up that level of control when I'm so in control, please.
Speaking of control, I'm surprised that Mary, you know, because you're very calm usually, but going through this ordeal, God, you need
right.
You
when
need
all
some
I
therapy.
Wanted to do is leave, and I had to go up and down the parking garage multiple times. Set me back about 18 minutes.
We had
so good.
This is like a year and a half. This is like 10 minutes after you started working for me. We had a staff breakfast at a restaurant not far from here. And I mean not far from here. Like
Yoke.
Over by where CBS...
It was at Yoke, remember?
Yeah. Over by where CBS used to be.
Streeterville,
yeah. So it's what, 4 blocks maybe. Took us an hour to get there because I didn't know how to get there.
We were walking around buildings. It's like 2 blocks away. And we're walking and walking. And I'm like, where is this place? And then when we finally... I had to put it on the GPS on my phone while we're walking. And then it's like, it was 2 blocks from our
office. Prior to 2000, it's about 2000 when everybody had cell phones, 2000, 2005, somewhere in there. I don't know how I ever got anywhere. I don't.
You should try dropping a pin. Have you ever done that on your phone, like drop a pin at your location?
No, I just have to Sandberg come around to just drive in circles and make sure I'm in the right spot.
That's awesome.
It's all very sad.
So how long from start to finish did it take to find your car?
By the way, none of this was sleep deprived.
We just got here this morning.
Yeah, it's been a week. It's 7:22. It's a traffic update from Mary. What do you have?
Live from the Allstate Showcase Studio. This is the Steve Cochran Show. 7:20 WGN.
7:25. As we continue, live from the Allstate Showcase Studio, Giving Tuesday. And the very talented, very lovely Sophia Bush joins us now as part of Giving Tuesday. And good morning to you.
Good morning. How are you?
We're great. Thanks for doing this. You're one of the folks that has contributed to Giving Tuesday, but explain specifically what you're doing and what you'd like us to do.
Well, obviously, we know it's holiday season, and everybody gets excited about Black Friday and Cyber Monday. But the thing that I'm most excited about is always Giving Tuesday. I kind of think, like, who needs another ugly Christmas sweater or, like, random set of wine glasses that don't match the rest of the ones you own? Wouldn't it be cool to let the people who you love know that you pay attention to the stuff that they care about and maybe make a donation to a charity that's meaningful to them in their name?
Yeah, it's a really cool idea, and I'm not sure everybody knows about it.
Yeah, you know, I think that that's part of the reason that, you know, I'm up early on a Tuesday morning is to make sure we get the word out and remind people that, you know, in a season of giving, it is really meaningful to give back. And this year, I actually am really, really excited because I got to partner with my friends at PayPal. I think I was laughing. I was like, do you guys track, like, how much vintage stuff I buy on eBay? Like, do you know that I use your service all the time? How did you know to call me? But they actually started this incredible initiative where if you donate to any of these charities of your choice through their PayPal link, they add 1% to every donation.
How cool is that?
So that you know that 101% of whatever you're donating goes to the charity of your choice.
That's right.
And last year, that 1% generator was able to help raise $48 million in money for charity. And I kind of was like, this is how we should be spending our holiday.
Amen.
You know, like,
amen to that.
Sophia, when you were here, I mean, we follow you on Twitter, Instagram, and you've always been giving back, not just today, but Run for the Gulf, the Global Green Gulf Relief Fund. I mean, you have a lot of charities that you donate. Has that always been in you?
Yeah, absolutely. I think, you know, I was lucky enough to grow up in Southern California, and I was either in the ocean or in the mountains and went to summer camp as a kid and just really always loved the outdoors and grew up in, you know, a family and as I mentioned, camp, where you kind of really create community and you're taught to support everybody around you. You know, I remember being like seven and starting trust falls and going, oh, I get the bigger theme here. I know what we're saying. Like, we gotta carry each other a little bit as people.
Right.
And, you know, my parents were always really supportive of all the crazy volunteering that I wanted to do. And before I had a driver's license were the people shuttling me around, you know, California to various places to spend Saturdays and Sundays.
Well, but, you know, I think I'm glad you mentioned your parents, because I think it's really important for parents to do this as well. And Giving Tuesday is a great example. Now, a lot of your kids are in school, yeah, or your older kids are in school now. But explain what Giving Tuesday is. Don't assume your kids understand charity. Don't assume your kids understand charitable stuff. And if you're good enough to give, include them in it so they get the message and you pay it forward that way.
Absolutely. And I think it is such a gift when parents can instill that in their kids, and it does shape them for their lives. You know, I've been a volunteer since I was a little kid, and now I'm fortunate enough through my work to have a platform where I get to kind of serve as a highlighter. I get to say, do you care about the environment? Great, let's talk about the Nature Conservancy. Do you care about education? Let's talk about the Girl Project and Pencils of Promise.
Right.
You know, there's all these ways in which I can help highlight great causes for people. And that's why I love a day like today. I think it gives us the opportunity, to your point, to really have conversations in our communities, in our friend groups, in our families, about how to give back, about why that's such an integral part of the way that we live. And it's nice when, you know, a big corporation that doesn't have to care says, we actually really care a lot, and we just want to help raise money for charity. It kind of it reminds me that whether it's big or small, we all have the power to do a little bit more and a little bit extra. And I think that's a really nice way to start the holiday season.
One of your favorite charities, mine too, especially now, Sophia, I Am That Girl. And I know, didn't you do something special that year, a couple years back, where you offered anyone who donated, they had a chance to enter a raffle to skydive with you?
Yeah, that was really, really fun. And I had a moment where I was like, do people get that this is an adventure, or does it seem weird that I'm going to throw someone out of an airplane, like a perfectly good airplane? But it was cool because, you know, the girls who wound up winning the raffle were, you know, just daredevils who care about the world like me. And we had a really, really fun adventure day. And I think, you know, whether it's something like that, or even this summer, I took my best girlfriends fly fishing in Alaska with me. And it's like, I love getting women out into these sort of arenas where they really get to kind of test their mettle and be reminded how strong they are.
TheGirlProject.com, right?
Good one. Yeah. The Girl Project is an organization I'm so passionate about. They work in 96 countries simultaneously and look on a case-by-case basis to determine what the barriers are to girls having access to secondary school in any of those countries. And the list is growing all the time. And so it feels like a way to really make a specific impact. And, you know, you can support a cause like that. If you're not sure what you want to support, we actually created this big aggregator. So if you go to paypal.com/giveback, you can search through all of these different charities. And whether you are passionate about education access like me, or I heard you guys a moment ago talking about, you know, the American Lung Society.
Yeah.
If your family's been touched by lung cancer, or you want to work on the environment, whatever it is, there's an organization that you can give to. And, you know, all these little micro donations really help. I mean, we're talking about adding 1% to a donation, and that 1% was able to raise $48 million.
That's tremendous. So, and thank you to PayPal. As you said, they don't have to do that. They're stepping up to do that. So thank you for that.
Yeah.
By the way, follow Sophia on Twitter and social media at Sophia Bush. Here's the deal, too. I'll tell you what we'll do right now. If you when you follow me at Cochran Show, just tweet me what your charity is you'd like us to hype, and we'll hype it between now and 10 o'clock. So we'll tell people, here's an organization you ought to take a look at as well, because you know which ones we talk about here every day.
Mm-hmm. That's great. I always love when people recommend organizations to me that are doing great things. And this initiative, you know, this 1% ad is actually going from today. It's a Giving Tuesday kickoff, but it goes through December 31st. So if you're like one of those people like me who's a little bit of a procrastinator and you don't necessarily know what to get somebody for a holiday gift, you could like make a donation to charity literally on your way to Christmas dinner, and no one will know that it was a last minute thought.
Exactly.
And you're doing good for the world. It's a win-win for everybody.
Right. You procrastinators. What good news for you.
Hey.
It's Giving Tuesday at Sophia Bush, and I know you moved on from Chicago PD, and everybody loved you on One Tree Hill, but what's next? What are you doing next?
You know, I'm just so excited about the next chapter. I have, to your point, had the incredible, you know, luck and sort of hour earning, like, you know, there's that 10,000 hours theory Malcolm Gladwell talks about, and I did the math once, and I was like, oh my God, I've filmed TV shows for like 48,000 hours.
Right.
I actually think I might be an expert. And so I'm taking all of that sort of experience and all of the things that I've learned, and I'm starting now to produce. I'm working with 20th Century, which is an incredible film and television studio, and they produce for all of the various networks on TV, and I'm starting to create content and have a little more ownership behind the camera as well. And I'm really excited for the next year and the projects I'm going to get to roll out, and hopefully this time next year we'll have another great show to be talking about when I do this interview with
you. Well, yeah, you come back on, we'll be happy to do it for you. By the way, we got a text here who says, please tell Sophia that her prop department from Chicago PD is going to be giving today, and we love her.
Oh, God, I love those guys. Jay Ridge, my prop fellows.
Yeah, right.
My whole crew. I mean, truly, I will say, one of the best crews I've ever had the pleasure of working with. And, yeah, Chicago's always going to be my home away from home, man. I love you guys.
We love you.
Thanks for being up.
I had to talk my mom off the ledge when you left, Sophia, but we love you. Come back and visit us.
I will, for sure. I'll see you guys soon.
All right. Thanks for the plug for Giving Tuesday, and thank you, PayPal. Hold the line, if you would. That's Sophia Bush. We're back with the big story next, which is?
Donald Trump.
On 720 WGN. All right, so you have to identify the famous Chicagoan from the riddle. Nobody's doing riddles like we are. We're the riddle leader from John DeCoste. All right, John, you've written another riddle.
I have.
Don't shout out your answer, even if you know it on the show. Be the first correct caller at 312-981-7200. Ready when you are.
Here we go. Born in Portsmouth in 25, a 720 legend when he was alive. No one could guess the black box name game. Married three times, but his wife stayed the same.
Mm. I got this one. No idea?
I don't think I know this one.
Yeah, I got this one. Mary, you got this one, Vanderbilt?
I need to hear it again.
I'm sorry, am I interrupting breakfast?
I'm eating my banana. Man, you always catch me when I'm eating my banana.
All right, read it one more time, John.
Born in Portsmouth in 25, a 720 legend when he was alive. No one could guess the black box name game. Married three times, but his wife stayed the same.
Yes.
You don't know, do you?
I really don't.
Okay.
No, me either. I kind of, well.
Steve Grzanich, don't say it, but do you know it?
I don't know it.
Okay, I know this one.
This is a good one. I mean, they're all good.
There's one particular clue in there which should give it away.
The?
No, that's not. No, more than the. Yeah. First correct caller at 312-981-7200. You will be the big winner of Blackhawks tickets from our friends at Four Seasons Heating, Air Conditioning, and Plumbing. For all the right reasons, Four Seasons. And the deal is you're going to get tickets for the game against the Kings on Sunday night. You'll also be entered to win four season tickets for next year, courtesy of Four Seasons Heating, Air Conditioning, and Plumbing. It's Joanne.
Oh, I think I know it now. Sorry.
All right, Joanne. You heard it. Who is it?
It's Wally Phillips.
Yeah. That's it. You're a winner.
Of course.
Oh, I'm so excited.
Congratulations. Now, let me ask you a question. You weren't married to Wally, were you?
No.
Okay.
No,
okay. I just wanted to make sure. Who are you going to bring to the game on Sunday?
You know, I don't.
don't know.
Well, let's. You got a couple days to think about it.
I'm going to be one lucky person, that's for sure.
Well, we're lucky to have you as a listener. We appreciate it. Find them online at FourSeasonsHeatingAndCooling.com. That's FourSeasonsHeatingCooling.com. And you're registered as well, as I said, for season tickets next year. Joanne sounds delightful, doesn't she?
She's so excited. Very nice. That was wonderful.
That's tremendous. And again, it's Wally Phillips. I met Wally's wife when we inducted him into the Walk of Fame.
Mm-hmm.
Very nice woman.
Very sweet. I didn't know. So he.
You got to really.
Three times.
Be, yeah. You got to be in love to marry the same person three times.
Yeah. Cool.
I couldn't. I can't stand you. Get out. I couldn't live without you. Come back. I still can't stand you. Get out. All right. Come back this time. We'll make it work.
Or, yeah. And it was maybe one was renewing their vows, too.
Right? No, the three were all full marriages, I'm told.
Oh.
Yeah. Yeah.
Very cool.
Yeah.
So I wonder if she's got alimony piled on alimony. Like, is she still getting?
Oh, you thought it was a financial
check?
Move?
Yeah.
And how do you do anniversaries?
Registries?
They didn't do it like that back then. I'm sorry. What?
How do you do anniversaries then?
Mm. Oh, we can pick anyone
over?
You want,
right? And if you forget, you can go. Oh, I'm sorry. I was back on the first one.
I suppose you wouldn't want it. You probably wouldn't want to celebrate the anniversary of the first two, right? You probably celebrate
no,
the third.
The third one. And do you get to register all three times?
Oh,
yeah.
Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. Fun. Absolutely.
That's a good idea.
By the way, Wally.
I'm going to ask my husband for a divorce.
I didn't know Wally in his prime. You know, I was a little kid. But I got a chance to spend a little bit of time, not a lot of time, a little bit of time with Wally after he had retired. And he couldn't have been nicer.
Oh, yeah. So nice.
Now, there are a lot of people who said he was a little bit difficult to get to know. And back when this radio station was over at the Channel 9 building, he would get off the air and avoid people and go to his office and start working. But you got to remember, and again, I don't know this, I'm just surmising, this was one of the most popular radio personalities in America, by far the biggest single show in America at that point, in the late 60s, all the way through the 70s and into the early 80s. And this is pre-email.
Mm-hmm.
The amount of time it would have taken Marilyn Miller, who was his amazing producer, and Wally, just to handle the correspondence with people, right, and the various things related to the show, was a time suck. It would take all day.
Right, typing up, show prep,
right,
things.
And you're on the phone all the time.
You didn't have the internet either.
And I wish I could have seen him do the show, because I'm told he was an absolute magician with how he did things. Because when he was playing sound effects, he'd play them off of records.
Isn't that cool?
So you had to coordinate when they had record turners, a union job for to turn these records and to find whatever you're going to play. You had to coordinate with them. So he had to think about all this in advance. So he'd have a sound effect for a piece of material that he'd go, okay, I want this right here. When we come back from the break, bang, bang, bang. You know, there was still live commercial copy that had to be read. I mean, you know, the guy was a wizard.
That's how we got the term. That's how we got the term "spin the dials." Remember, when because they would spin the record or turn the dials on
the dials were the doorknob boards.
Yeah, remember that?
You're not old enough to remember doorknob boards.
I remember though when I was a little kid, and my dad would be driving in the car. We'd listen to Wally Phillips, and I would hear the sound effects. You know, the people pop in with "You are correct, sir," or whatever it would be. And I always loved. I always called it the noise. When I was younger, like, oh, I like the noise.
I never talked to Brandmeier about it, but I bet Johnny was inspired. You know, Johnny grew up in Wisconsin, and I bet Johnny B. was inspired by him a little bit, because Johnny was a magician, too, with the sounds.
Right.
Absolutely. Weren't they all chain-smoking and drinking whiskey, too, while
chain-smoking, drinking whiskey. There was a cocktail party going on the entire time.
You know, I had to fill in with him a couple times when I first started here, and he was filling in for people back then, 20 years ago, and I was scared to death when I had to fill in for him, you know. Or
was he nice
there
to you?
Oh, he was super nice. Okay. But watching, like you said, I was watching him. He had all these carts, you know, we called them carts back then.
Yeah,
that's
like
where
eight
all
track
his
tapes.
After they were on records, then his sound effects were on these carts, and he was popping them in. And it was amazing to watch him. It was just amazing.
Yeah, magician.
Yeah. And like you said, though, Marilyn Miller, his assistant forever and his producer.
Yeah, she was amazing.
Typing everything up, making sure everything was ready to go.
All right, so yes, it's Wally Phillips. Congratulations to Joanne. You're a big winner. Got some more text for you in a second. People are texting in about me being a parking garage idiot. They're texting in about sleep deprivation, 312-981-7200. And we also got to play the match game coming up as well. We're going to give away tickets to the New Year's Eve show. All on the way at 720 WGN. Mayor? We were talking about Trump a few minutes ago. You ever think about what happened to Billy Bush? Billy Bush, the Access Hollywood tape, gets fired from NBC and Access Hollywood and all associated NBC properties. He can't get arrested. Nobody wants to touch him with a 10-foot pole. Mm-mm. His wife left him. I got to believe, you know, we all heard the tape. We've heard the tape a million times. There had to be something else going on in that marriage for the wife to bail over this, right?
Yeah, but he called himself Bushy. I mean, that had to be some part of it.
But I don't know. You mean just because it's annoying?
Yeah.
But on the tape, he's not the bad guy, right?
No, he's egging it on a little bit.
I didn't hear that.
But he didn't make those, you know, horrible comments about what to do with women.
Anyway, Billy Bush got hit in the face with a golf ball.
Oh.
So his bad 2017 continues. Yeah, I had some social media pictures up. He actually went to the doctor. It looks like he's in a hospital room. I'm not sure why you go to the hospital room for being hit with a golf ball.
You can get, can you get concussed? I mean, if you are kind of in the line of the drive, you can possibly.
It's a great way to generate sympathy if America hates you now, I suppose.
Is it wrong to have laughed when this happened?
You mean like his ex-to-be did?
Like when I saw it, I kind of laughed a little.
He doesn't look that bad, though.
No, he doesn't. It's like a selfie that he's taken, and I'm like, where's the bruise?
Did he say where it was? He got hit on the head?
He got hit in the eye. But he doesn't even have a black eye at this point. It looks like he got a little makeup on here.
Okay. You know what?
We got to stop does. Billy Bush hating here.
But then you know what he did? He does it to himself. He put a hashtag, put me down for par.
Yeah, it's being hilarious. Listen, I feel for the guy. Donald Trump did. So I feel for him.
He was yucking it up with him.
Yeah.
Though.
So you're saying, Steve, if you were married to him, you would have left him as well?
Absolutely. Yeah.
Right?
The way he laughed at when Trump said that stuff, it was kind of stomach turning.
Yeah, I agree with Steve. He was like giggling about it.
In the moment, it's one thing. You get to judge it afterwards, right? All right, so dumb things you did when you were sleep deprived. Panicked because the electric locks in my car weren't working. I was wondering, how would I get out of my car? Then it dawned on me, lift the locks. 815, my husband rolled over to reach for our newborn son when he cried. He cradled him and said, come here, big guy. It was the clock radio.
Oh. But they had a good time. Oh.
People get tired. People just get tired.
I know.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Dean Richards joins us from Channel 9.
Citizens of the world.
Some of the world's greatest entertainers are here tonight.
Ladies and gentlemen, may I present to you.
And tonight, guess what? It's going to be Dean.
Yeah, Hollywood. You know I love you more than what I should. Yeah, Hollywood. Well, kiss me good.
You know, Dean, in segment two today, we're going to announce a Christmas gift to the audience of this show.
Oh, that's thoughtful of you.
And I'm not just talking about the week off that I'm going to be taking. That's one of the gifts. But this is a gift that John DeCoste is involved with.
Oh.
And John will announce that gift. What are you looking at me like that for?
It must be something musical.
We talked about it before the show. It is musical.
Yes.
You better start writing something, John. It sounds like.
Kind of freaking out now.
No, it's coming up in just a few minutes. John's gift to the audience coming up.
John, you're so thoughtful.
Yes, he really is.
I didn't know what it was.
By the way, Dean, you're probably wondering please tell me, how can I get tickets to the New Year's Eve show? John, how would we do that?
Real simple. You just go to eventbrite.com.
Search my name.
Search Steve Cochran New Year's Eve. Cochran New Year's Eve, and boom, it's right there.
Boom.
Boom.
Big night. Big night.
Big bang a boom.
Great night, New Year's Eve, for people that can't stay awake until midnight. Yeah. In by 7, out by 10 at the latest.
Nine, actually, by the latest.
This
we're done.
This is just loaded with holiday love and cheer this morning.
Grammy nominations are out?
Yes, they are.
Was I nominated?
Yes, they are. No, you did not get a single nomination this year, Steve, I'm afraid.
What about my shower singing category?
Unless you are going by your showbiz music name, Jay-Z.
Mm-hmm.
Because he got the most nominations of anybody when the Grammy nominations were announced this morning. He is nominated for Album of the Year.
I don't get it.
For his album 444.
Mm-hmm.
For Record of the Year. You're probably asking yourself, what was that Record of the Year?
I'm not a Jay-Z fan. I mean, I love hip-hop and rap, you know, almost across the board. I'm not nuts for Jay-Z.
The record
I like
of
his wife. I think she's really good.
Record of the Year It's called The Story of O.J. Mm-hmm. Like it any better yet? No, I don't think so. But anyway, he got 8 nominations. Kendrick Lamar. You like Kendrick Lamar.
Yeah, I do.
I've heard you say you like Kendrick Lamar. Yeah. He got 7 nominations. Bruno Mars got 6 nominations. And the artist known as SZA.
You're talking about the Sizzler?
No,
the place. The Sizzler, like Ponderosa?
I don't mean the steakhouse. SZA, which is spelled S-Z-A, I just learned yesterday.
Like scissors, like SZA?
Yesterday, like an old white guy on TV, like when Wally Phillips would introduce a Carpenter song and mispronounce it back in the day. yesterday on TV, I called SZA S-Z-A because that's how it's spelled, S-Z-A. I didn't know it was
no, you didn't
SZA.
Know.
And then some of our young interns said, sir.
Mr. Richards?
Old person, that's actually SZA. So I learned that yesterday. Khalid and Childish Gambino, also with multiple nominations. Childish Gambino is the hip-hop name for Donald Glover from the TV show Atlanta.
Yeah, and his older brother, Mature Gambino, wasn't nominated for anything.
I think I've officially reached that age where when I watch the VMAs or the MTV Music Awards, I don't know who they are.
Exactly.
You like Jay-Z?
I've reached that age. I like Jay-Z, yeah.
Can I get a what, what?
What, what?
Man,
we sound so white.
It's actually pronounced Jay-Zai.
No, actually, it's not.
And that's Karen Carpenter.
Dean, are you sure Steve wasn't nominated in the spoken word category?
Oh, you know what? Let me check the spoken word. I
normally, you can get back to me on that. I don't want to make this all about me.
Normally,
you know,
that's the first category that I like to check, the spoken word, because...
Oh, look, Steve Dale was nominated. Did not see that coming.
Who knew they had a favorite pet category?
I've been wondering about this. As a matter of fact, I brought this up yesterday. I said to myself, I said, Steve, and then I said, what? I said, Steve, and then I said, what again? I said, Steve, and I said, well, yes, what? I said, how is it Jeremy Piven has 3 or 4 women who have accused him of sexual harassment and CBS hasn't said a word about it?
Well, they did yesterday.
What'd they do?
With the big pink slip. They fired him, basically. They canceled his TV show, which, by the way, we can make it sound like CBS is, you know, doing such a moral thing. The show really wasn't getting good ratings anyway. So that may be part of this grandiose decision on the part of CBS.
Yeah, it wasn't exactly Entourage.
Right. The show is called Wisdom of the Crowd. They announced that they're ending it yesterday. They have 4 episodes that are still in the
Wisdom of the Crowd is they weren't watching.
Right. Sometimes you should listen to the crowd.
Mm-hmm.
Piven has denied all the allegations of sexual harassment that are levied against him right now. He even took a lie detector test to try to prove that the claims are unfounded. But I think we have to watch Maury Povich to find out what the answer is, whether or not he is the father.
Whether he's given birth to the truth. Maybe you could do Jersey Shore. I hear that's coming back.
Jersey Shore is going to be coming back. Which was your favorite on the old Jersey Shore?
Were you Snoop. I like Snoop. That was the last one.
I think middle-aged Gambino was mine.
Welcome to the old white people show.
Remind
the
me.
The situation.
I say situation all the time. It must be that one.
At Steve's New Year's Eve show, they're going to be handing out complimentary Geritol at the door.
And peanut brittle.
They're going to ask everybody to stand up and sit down at the same time so there won't be too many noises of people going,
Snooky. Wasn't it Snooky?
Snooky. Oh, Snooky. Yeah.
J-Wow.
J-Wow. Jay Wow was hot. I remember that.
J-W-O-W.
Paulie D.
Yeah.
Oh, Paulie, yeah.
The Situation.
Mm-hmm.
They're all going to be back.
Vinny.
Which was the one with the fake tan, the fake and bake?
All of them.
That was all of them.
That was all of them. Okay. Yeah.
Sammy Sweetheart Giancola will not be part of the lineup. And what they're going to be doing, it's going to be show...
Is this going to be an update on where their lives have gone?
Yes. Yes, you should be a television producer. This is going to be called Jersey Shore Family Vacation. Will show how their lives have evolved, their spouses, and their kids.
Hold on 1 second. Yep, I just checked to see if I cared about anything less. Nope, there was nothing.
You say that now until Snooki goes crazy.
All right, should I get on a plane, fly to New York, and see the Springsteen show on Broadway?
Yes, you should. He's been doing the Springsteen on Broadway show. It was only supposed to go 16 weeks. The news is that they have extended it now until next June.
Wow.
Because it's going gangbusters, as you might imagine.
Is Bruce in it?
Bruce is the show. and he does reworked versions of his classic songs, and kind of it's an autobiographical show. He tells the story of his career and how the songs were.
Does a country version of 10th Avenue Freeze Out? Well, 10th Avenue Freeze Out!
It might be. There could be a version of that in there. Here's the thing, though. This is a theater that they show this in on Broadway. It's the Walter Kerr Theater, 900 mm-hmm. seats. Mm-hmm. So this is like seeing Bruce Springsteen at the Park West.
Yeah, it's pretty cool.
That is, if for no other reason, get to see Springsteen in an up-close venue like that is, you know, got to be amazing. So tickets for this second run, the extension, are going to go on sale December the 19th if anyone's going to be in New York. And who doesn't, you know, go there?
Swing by. Yeah. Swing by New York for this.
I've never seen him in concert, you guys.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh,
one of the few shows, and everybody says how fantastic it is.
Yeah. Plan on an evening.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Always a good show. Plan on like 6 hours.
I was thinking of doing the Boston Branson in 2018.
You think he's going to Branson? He's a few years away from Branson, even though he's got to be, what, 67 maybe?
Yeah, 66, probably 66. 67?
That was my first date with my husband.
To a Springsteen show?
He took me to Springsteen. I didn't know it was a date, but... it was a really fun night.
So he's spending the whole night going, wow, she's hot. I wonder how this is going to go later. And then you're spending the whole night going, he seems nice enough. Maybe we'll be friends at work.
Basically. And we got shushed out of the concert because we were talking so much. We were at Wrigley. People were so angry. They were
at
like,
Wrigley?
Yep.
Did you have the awkward goodnight kiss where you realized it was a date where he goes to kiss you and he hits you on the forehead?
We did have a kiss outside my building, and my doorman stood at the window and like kept pretending he was washing the windows because it was...
Oh, he was protecting you.
Yeah, and I didn't invite Pat up.
Good girl. There you go.
Yeah.
Because I was like, oh my gosh, the next day. I cannot believe I'm kissing Pam Willie. He's such a dork. That's what I kept thinking.
No way.
But I love him so much now. I know.
What a sweet memory.
Didn't he have the butterflies?
No, I you know what? I kind of was liking him, but I'm like, this is the same, you know, he.
So it was a charity.
One time he told me he liked Bonnie Hunt, and I was like, what?
Well, I like Bonnie Hunt. Bonnie Hunt's
I know,
fine.
But like he's like
a guy.
I don't know. I just was like, you're a dork, and so. But anyway, it was Bruce Springsteen.
That's sweet.
And we got shushed out and had to leave early.
That's probably not your go-to line when you're on a first date. Yeah. I like Bonnie Hunt.
That's fair. Yeah, you know, that is fair. That
makes any difference.
He's probably like, that's why I wasn't asked
that's
up.
That's fair.
I wasn't asked up to go to the restaurant.
Traffic for Mary Vandeville. Wake up, Mary.
That is so good.
You'll be calling his name. Dean Rick Shirley, entertainment editor, Channel 972.
Was there any breaking show business news during the break, Dean?
Yes. I just learned another hip-hop name during the break.
Can I get a what? What?
Nominated for Best Urban Contemporary Album this year is a group whose name is spelled number 6, mm-hmm. L-A-C-K. Six L-A-C-K.
Slack.
It's actually pronounced black is what I've learned.
Why because would it be
six,
black?
Yeah, six what? Looks like a small B, I guess.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
I don't know why you just wouldn't use a small B.
No. Can't do
see,
that.
Six L, slack. Six L-A-C-K. Slack.
Yeah.
Slack.
But correctly pronounced.
Slack.
Oh, my God.
I was in a group called the Sansabelts back in the 70s.
Were you doing a lot of hip-hop?
Yeah.
The early stuff?
Yeah. Now I'm known as JD.
Yeah, it was the group, if you remember right, their nickname, One Size Fits All.
Or One Buys Fits All, depending on
how you see it. The artist known as Black, spelled with a six, yeah. His real name is Ricardo Valdez Valentin.
Yeah, well, that's long. And what rhymes with Ricardo Valdez Valentin? That's right. A lot.
I'm talking RVV.
Yeah. All right, so I don't want to shortchange this music segment, so we're going to push this off one break. But this was the text question of the day, and Dean could chime in. By the way, anybody on the show, you've had 2.5 hours to come up with an answer. The question is, what's the dumbest thing you've ever done while you were sleep-deprived? Okay? John left money in an ATM this morning, took his card and drove off, didn't grab the cash. Which I'm going to say is almost the biggest reason you go to an ATM.
Yes.
To actually get the cash.
Yeah.
And we've gotten great texts all morning. Dean, do you have one?
This show.
This show is the dumbest thing you've done sleep deprived?
Yeah.
You know what? I can't argue with that.
Wow. That's a good one.
That's fair. How about you?
All right. I was taking a nap one afternoon, mm-hmm. and it was about 4 o'clock, and it gets dark now. And this is about a year ago, and I woke up, and I thought it was actually 4 in the morning, and I was running late. So I got up, showered, got ready, got dressed, started to leave. And realized it was 4 o'clock in the evening.
Well, this is interesting you say that because I actually had a 1 hour commute in one of my 12,000 different jobs in show business. And in the 1 hour commute, I woke up and it was 12 o'clock.
Yeah.
And I freaked out. And I got in the car and drove like 35, 40 minutes. Again, this is pre cell phone.
Yeah.
I looked and at the bank, there was a revolving clock. And the revolving clock said 12:35 a.m.
Oh, geez.
I was doing a morning show. Why I would have gotten up at 12 o'clock doesn't make sense to begin with.
Right.
But I drove more than halfway to work
before you
at
realized
midnight.
It. Yeah.
Before I realized what time it was.
I got ready, which was bad enough because you have to dry,
yeah, no.
dry your hair.
Showered, yeah,
yeah,
shower, get dressed.
Ready
the whole
to go.
Bit.
Oh, it's
and once
awful.
You shower, get dressed, maybe you think,
should I stay off?
Feel off. What time is it?
Right.
Naps confuse the heck out of you. Don't
it's,
do it.
It's crazy.
I've woken up and, like from a nap, and it's 4 p.m., and I think it's 4 a.m.
Yep.
In a panic
yep.
that I need to go to work. But the real thing that I've done, sleep deprived, come to work two completely different shoes, not even remotely similar
no.
shoes. On. Like a gym shoe and a dress shoe.
Someone else I know did that and came into work once.
I had two different shoes on. Completely different casual shoes, but two different shoes, and they were a different color.
Yeah. They didn't even look alike.
I think that's stylish now with the kids, isn't
oh,
it?
Oh, yeah.
Now, I did this on a Sox, Sunday morning. Yeah. You know what? It's all coming back now.
Mm-hmm.
Sunday morning, this summer, I picked up my daughter to go to church from her apartment. I pick her up. She goes, why is your shirt on inside out?
No.
Yeah. I had a golf shirt on. I had it on inside out.
The golf shirt.
Left the house.
You didn't feel the logo. Like,
walked through a Walgreens.
Pressing up against your chest.
Hey, is that Steve Cochran? What is he doing?
What a slob.
And this is 3 or 4 years ago now, but at one point, speaking of shoes, my daughter goes, why are you wearing two different shoes? I had two different shoes on, and they're on the wrong feet.
Come on.
And they were different sizes.
Oh, my God. You're a mess, man.
So apparently, I have no feeling below my ankles.
You're more than sleep deprived.
I got up one morning and my watch said 3:08, and it wasn't until I got to GN that I realized my clock was 5 minutes off.
No kidding. Oh. Wow, that is crazy.
I hate that.
All right, who else? Who's got a sleep deprived?
Oh, I've done one twice.
Okay.
I wear one contact in my, don't ask me why, but I just do. I have eye
issues. What are you, a pirate?
Just forget it. It was a LASIK issue years ago.
Okay.
So anyway, I've gotten up twice. Instead of putting the saline, washing my contact out with saline before I put it in my eye, I put ClearCare in it, which is basically peroxide and burned the heck out of my eye. I've done it twice.
That
not
felt
once,
good.
But twice because I just grabbed the wrong bottle.
Now she doesn't even have an eye to wear a contact
yes.
in.
No,
and
I'm
now
really
she's actually, ironically, now she's wearing a patch.
Now she is a pirate. Arg.
Steve Grzanich?
Oh, I have one. You're lucky that I'm actually sitting here because of it.
What do you mean?
Last year, about a year or so ago, my master bath has a jacuzzi tub in it. I fell asleep in the tub. Was there for about an hour, I think.
With water in
With
it?
Water in
okay.
it, yeah.
Oh,
well,
wow.
When you went under, is that when you knew?
I don't think I went under, I mean, because I woke up and I just was kind of leaning against the back. You know, they have those things you can...
Well, that's not terrible.
Where was your dog?
I could have gone under, though. I woke
Are you
up
a like, strong swimmer?
I
you might have been able to swim to help.
I felt really stupid when it happened.
Steve, you needed the life hammer.
Yeah.
Clink.
Water wings.
Water wings.
Yeah. Well, to be safe, I always wear water wings in the shower.
Yeah.
And he's still pruney to this day after that.
I haven't taken a bath since then, by the way.
I understand.
We've
with that
noticed.
Kind of trauma. Andrea?
No, I did my member.
No,
you
that's
sleep
right.
deprived?
Jake?
Well, we do have early hours, of course, and I get here very early.
Mm-hmm.
And one time, if you're familiar with Michigan Avenue, if you know where the Intercontinental Hotel is, which is about half a block from here, and it kind of looks like the Tribune Tower, I guess, and I walked to work. So I walked right into the Intercontinental, and I said, I'm like, there's no security guard.
Right.
What is going
there's
on?
There's a bellman. And he looked at me, and he said, is there something wrong, sir? Because I just had this, I'm like, oh my God, did we move?
Who stole
did they
WGN?
Not tell me?
They remodeled on us.
And then it took me, I'm not kidding, probably 45 seconds till I realized, oh, I'm in a hotel. I'm not in the Tribune Tower. So
turned
that
out,
was fun.
Turned out Sandberg's is, she was kissing a dork and she ended up marrying him.
Oh.
Yeah. 8:34, we're
Bonnie
back.
Bonnie Hunt
with,
was actually in the hotel.
Yeah.
Was she?
Yeah.
8:34, got to do the big story. Are we doing it now? A quick break, then we'll come back to the big story. Thank you, Dean.
See ya.
On 720 WGN.
I remember when I saw her face
the first time.
She put Jimmy DeCastro in his place.
Oh, God.
They asked her if she could just produce.
She said,
"Why do you think I'm here?
Hello."
She took over the Cochran Morning Show.
Thank God.
She worked with everyone to make it go
her way.
Her only focus now to make it grow.
Hold on. What's that? A brand new washer and dryer? Ooh,
ooh, ooh, ooh, ooh. She comes off very sweet and nice and ooh, 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 ooh. The truth is, we're terrified, we're terrified.
She is Mary, Mary, Mary. She is Mary Sandberg. She is Mary, Mary, Mary. She is Mary Sandberg. Never bring your paper towels that don't say Bounty brand. 'Cause she is Mary, 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 Mary. She is Mary Sandberg.
Pretty Never. Strong. Pretty strong. Pretty strong. I think it's one of your best.
That's one of my favorite. That was fun. That was fun to do.
John is the musical director of the program. John has written theme songs for everybody on the show, in some cases multiple songs. Mm-hmm. And as a Christmas gift to a listener, John, you're going to do what?
Real simple. They're going to contact us on the Steve Cochran Show Facebook.
Facebook, which is, well, I'll tell you how in a second.
Yeah.
But
okay, sorry. And real simple, I will talk to you, we'll get in touch with you, interview you, and I will write you a personal Christmas song, holiday song.
Cool. Which could be for you, know? You, or it could be for somebody as a gift.
Oh, exactly. Without a doubt. And we'll play it on the air.
This is great. These are in demand because people have asked for songs, and you know, a lot of times you're like, uh-oh, I don't think so.
I know. That's how it goes. Yeah.
So this is a personalized song for a listener.
Yes.
That you can give away as a gift.
Yep.
And, I mean, what's more personal than that?
Yeah.
Or you can keep it for yourself.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun.
And you get to be friends with John, and he is like a Labrador retriever. He's never going to let you go. Right?
So come on. True.
All right, so here's the deal. You can follow me on Twitter and send your submission there. Let's make it 10,000 words or less about why you would like your own personalized song. Twitter's 200 characters. I think it's self-limiting, right? Yes. 240? So send us your submission on Twitter on why you deserve a personalized song by following me at Cochran Show, or on Facebook, Steve Cochran Show. Tell us why you would like a personalized song from John. We'll do a random pick of all the submissions for a winner, and John will work with one of you.
That's going to be a lot of fun. I love doing that. That's a blast.
There you go. That's all we're talking about. That's what I'm saying. We're going to play Match Game coming up here in just a second. We have a ton of texts coming in. The text question of the day, what did you do that was dumb when you were tired? You were tired. You did something stupid. You were sleep deprived. You did something dumb. How do you explain it? Do you remember the Cindy Crawford story?
No.
No, what did she do?
Cindy Crawford's husband, Randy Gerber, is like best friends with George Clooney.
Yeah.
Imagine, there's got to be nothing but mirrors in the house so the three of them could just look. So Randy and George go out drinking, having a good old boys' time, come back. George ends up flopping on a bed. Cindy comes home from wherever she was, feeling frisky. She says she goes in to wake up Randy and then realizes she just got into bed with George.
Yeah, okay.
Oh, the question is, do you stay now or what?
Yeah, that's her version, right. Oh, I accidentally got into bed with George Clooney.
Yeah, if I had a nickel for every time that happened.
No kidding. And think of that. What a first world problem. Poor Cindy Crawford. She thinks she's going to bed with Randy, her hot husband, but instead, oh, oops, she went to bed with hot George.
Yeah. Well, it's tough. How do you choose?
How do you choose?
Flip a coin.
Right? Exactly.
Like Brad Pitt, Angelina Jolie, crazy, or Jennifer Aniston. All right, 8:50, another quick update on the traffic, and then we'll come back, play Match Game, and get you a few of these text messages as well. All right, we need two callers now to play the Match Game. 312-981-7200 is the number. And, John, we're giving away what?
We're going to give away two tickets to the Cochran New Year's Eve show.
New Year's Eve for people that can't stay awake until midnight, 7 o'clock New Year's Eve at what theater?
Tivoli Theater, downtown Downers Grove. Beautiful.
Hilarious stand-up comedy.
Yes. Mike Toomey.
Yes.
You, Tim Banker, me.
Yes.
Bigfoot.
Yes, Bigfoot is going to be
there. I
know.
How great is that?
And other special guests as well.
That's your nickname,
We'll
right?
have prizes to give away. It's going to be a great night.
Yeah. Yeah. And we're going to play the match game on that night as well.
And we will play the celebrity match game that night as well. So we're lining up a couple of callers right now. Explain to those on hold how you play the match game.
It's real simple. I'm going to give them a phrase. There will be a blank in the phrase. They fill it in. And we see how many of our celebrities here in the studio they can match.
And I have to say that my staff on this show, all of you, are incredibly disappointing at this game regularly. So that's part of the good times.
I think we do okay.
So let's start with Trish. Trish is in Sherrillville. Trish, say hi to John.
Hi, John.
Hello, Trish. How are you?
I'm good.
Good. You know how to play the game, correct?
I do. I watch the game.
Wonderful. Okay, now I'm going to give you your phrase. Don't give me your answer until I ask for it, okay?
Okay.
Here we go. Here we go, Trish. Mike Jacobson missed the Cochrane New Year's Eve show last year because he was detained by security of a local department store when they found him blanking the mannequins.
Don't give us your answer ever, Trish. Ever. All right, all right. Celebrities, everybody lock in your answers.
Let me know when you're all in. Mike, Mary, are you ready?
I just want to say, before we answer this question, the Woodstock Choir is in studio.
Yes, yes.
And we're about to say things they've heard. It's nothing they haven't heard before.
And can I just say, too, I love our bosses. I think around the holidays, I just want to say they're the best bosses ever.
Why are you sucking up now?
Yeah.
Because of my answer.
Okay.
Wow. Okay. I always... just go innocent. So,
all right, you want to start upstairs?
There we go. Wait, I need her answer first.
Oh, that might be helpful.
Trish, why don't you give us your answer?
Humping the mannequin.
Wow. The mannequin.
Okay.
That's beautiful.
I'm actually proud of you.
That's beautiful. And all the kids here are going into therapy.
Yeah.
Yes. Okay.
That's nice. Just looking at this one.
God bless
your
us, everyone.
Your parents didn't say it.
Okay, let's see.
All right.
Andrea, please.
Because of my disclaimer?
Yes.
I said doing.
Doing, that's going to go. That's a match.
I think that's a match.
What kind of a sicko is Mike?
Trish, way to go. Yes, yes.
I said fluffing the mannequins.
Okay.
I think that's probably
that
a match.
Steve? I think that's the same.
That's a match,
Mary?
Yeah. None of these are very flattering, by the way.
Say it again?
Yeah. None of them.
Oh, upstairs.
Well,
Mary,
you're the
upstairs.
One fluffing the mannequin.
I was nice, and because there are children present, I said...
They're not children. They're young people.
I said hugging.
Hugging. How incredibly boring.
Bennett?
Yes.
Mary, I'm on the same page as you. I said hugging. I'm innocent.
Bennett.
Mike Jacobson?
Yes. Due to my incredible singing voice, serenading.
Singing
wow.
serenading.
Oh, that's a really
it's interesting. That answer sucked almost as much as the other two.
Yeah. No. Yeah. Mary Sandberg, yes.
I said correcting.
Of course you did. Of course. Aww. Why wouldn't you say correcting? All right, Trish had two or three?
She had two.
Two.
She had two. That was good.
Two. All right, Trish. Hold the line. Here we go. Hold on, Trish. Let's move over here. To line two, that's Kathy. Kathy, where are you?
Shanahan. You can't read that.
Shanahan.
It was a phonetic spelling.
You actually spelled it O'Shanahan.
She's
the new Irish.
She's at the pub.
She's at the pub.
All right, Kathy, here we go. What's the question?
Hello, Kathy. Good morning. You know how to play the game, yes?
Yes, I do.
Very good. Here we go. Just fill in the blank. Don't give me the answer until I ask for it. Dean Richards said he will never take the banana boat Uber to the Cochrane New Year's Eve show again. Last year, halfway to the show, he found out the driver was a blank.
Hmm.
Wait, read
what?
It again.
I don't
Dean.
Well, just say Uber.
I just read it again.
Then he was a Richard.
No, don't give us your answer yet.
Richard.
Yeah, hang on. Dean Richards said he will never take an Uber to the Cochrane New Year's Eve show again. Last year, halfway to the show, he found out the driver was a blank.
Was a ghost.
Okay, did all the celebrities get a chance to write? Because Kathy is very anxious to get her answer out.
Well, no, it's okay. Good answer, Kathy. We'll work it out. It's not a problem.
I'll start with Mike.
Ghost. Mike Jacobson.
It was John DeCoss.
CLTV is joining us now. Everyone, wave to CLTV. You guys wave to CLTV. There you go.
John DeCoss. Oh, I think DeCoss and Ghost match?
No, absolutely.
Andrea, yes?
I said a zombie.
Oh, zombie's a good answer.
I'll give that one.
A ghost,
one.
A zombie? Yeah, that's fine.
Okay.
I said a criminal.
Okay. Upstairs?
Yes, a criminal.
Mary Vandeveld?
I said a dummy.
A mannequin.
Oh, yes. The mummy. That's actually good.
You know,
Bennett.
Those inflatables.
I said the one and only Abigail Grace.
Abigail Grace was driving the car.
Oh, that was
She's not even two.
That was good.
And but Mary she Sandberg can do it. She's a fair reason child. Why he would never take it again.
Hey, Mary Sandberg, one more time.
Child.
A child. Very good.
Okay.
We have one match, though.
One match. Kathy, congratulations. Ghost? You lost. But don't hang up, Kathy. Trisha, winner with two matches. Frankly, I'm stunned we had two matches.
Yeah.
Kathy had just one match. And here's the thing.
I matched them both.
Best answers ever on behalf of Andrea.
Thank you.
Really stunk at this game until today. You're the new leader.
That's really good.
All right.
Congratulations. The Woodstock Choir is going to sing for us coming up here in just a few minutes. We'll come back with the news first on CLTV and 720 WGN. Thank you, Stephen. We are live in the Allstate Showcase Studio on CLTV and on 720 WGN. A couple of the stars of White Christmas. You just saw White Christmas last week.
Right? Oh, my God. It was such a beautiful, beautiful production.
Cool.
Wonderful rendition of the movie that you have to see on stage. It's just fantastic. And two of the stars, well, Bob Wallace and Phil Davis will be here. They are here.
We will talk
Sean
to them.
And Jeremy.
We will talk to them shortly. But in the meantime, in studio, the Woodstock Choir. The Woodstock Choir, led by the director of choral activities. Wasn't I at one point, John, the director of choral activities?
Yes, yeah, the Coral right. Reef.
Brian, help me out with your last name.
Joswiak.
Joswiak. Get right in front of that microphone. I know you're not familiar with the microphone, but get right there.
Yeah. Joswiak.
How many kids did you bring in?
22.
22. This is a good-looking bunch.
Yeah.
Are they decent kids or they mostly gang members?
They're pretty good.
Oh, so they're okay? You know, the gangbangers in Woodstock. It's unbelievable. Yeah. It's a real problem.
It's funny when they're filing in and he's saying, all right, bass, altos, sopranos, over here, go.
Oh, he is a real taskmaster. Yeah. I couldn't believe I was throwing the drumsticks at the one kid.
Right.
Oh, that was probably a movie. You know, we have a famous Woodstockian, a Woodstocker. What is it? Woodstock? What, John, what would someone from Woodstock be called? A Woodstockian?
And John Sos.
And John Sos, that's right. Yes, thanks for the help. Ann Johnson, who just published her first book.
Yeah, famous author now.
Yeah, famous author. She'll be in to plug that. But she's going to do a reading and a signing at Read Between the Lines in Woodstock Square.
Cool.
On December 9th at 1 o'clock.
Go see her. The book's awesome. It's hilarious,
yeah, it's cool.
Too.
Yeah, she's the funniest mom you know.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. All right, so tell me about these kids.
This is the Woodstock High School Madrigal Singers. And this
what does that mean for us? Those are some
that's a great question. So the Madrigal Singers are a small ensemble that sings some music from the Renaissance and Baroque era. And so you
the Renaissance festival?
No, like the Renaissance time period. So music that would be sung during that time. They actually wear. They're not wearing them today, but they have their own traditional Renaissance costumes.
Wow.
You know, we can share a photo with you if there's a place that we
can
post that to.
It's we'll like put on our social
media. It's like
media.
Game of Thrones.
Is it hard to understand them when they're eating mutton?
They're pretty good. They're skilled at eating mutton and singing.
Now, let me ask you something. You look very young yourself.
Mm-hmm.
How did you get this gig, and are you qualified? Wow, speechless.
You tell me.
Wow. How long have you been teaching?
This is my third year teaching.
Where'd you go to school?
I went to Augustana College.
Okay.
So I actually I grew up and went to Vernon Hills High School.
Okay.
Then I went to Augustana College, and I have some connections to Woodstock. My dad grew up in Woodstock, and my high school choir teacher went to Woodstock High School. So had heard about Woodstock, and a position had opened up. Mr. Paul Rausch was the director at Woodstock High School, and for many years would bring his students down to sing on the WGN radio.
Yeah.
And so we're happy to be back and to be bringing the Madrigal Singers.
Well, you have to be good or we wouldn't ask you back. And
Augustana is a fantastic school for music.
Good.
My daughter went there.
Yeah.
It's fantastic.
And I've heard nothing but good things about the
they
qualifications
well.
And things. So this is a pretty cool gig for you.
Yeah, it's an awesome gig.
Did you tell these guys when you're coming down, don't blow this for me? Yeah, a little bit, put a little pressure on them?
Yeah, I think they kind of got the gist.
Yeah. What about you and your own performing, Jones? Do you get to sing anywhere now?
Yes. Well, when I was in college, I would sing in the Augustana Choir and had opportunities to travel and sing in that group. And currently I'm singing in Cor Cantiamo, which is a professional group out of DeKalb.
Wow.
And
nice.
We have various performance opportunities in the city. We sang in St. James Cathedral downtown last spring, so I'm still active as a performer.
Well, yeah, you have to be, right?
Yeah.
I mean, if it's in your blood, it's in your blood. That's all right. What are you guys going to sing for us?
So we have a variety of traditional Christmas carols and a couple of tunes that you might not have heard of, but are all surrounding the Christmas holidays and holiday season. So they're going to start today with one that you've heard, I'm sure, on commercials and on the radio.
Okay.
Carol of the Bells.
Oh, of course.
The Woodstock. Help me out again. The proper title is the Woodstock.
Woodstock High School Madrigal Singers.
What he said. Now live on CLTV and 720 WGN.
Seems to hear words of good cheer from everywhere filling the air. Oh, how they pound, praising the sound, oh, hear the dead tell in the tones. Carol the ring while people sing songs of good cheer. Christmas is here. Ding dong, ding dong, ding, merry Christmas. Merry, 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 merry Christmas. Join on this and on without end, their cheerful tone to every home. Dark other bells, sweet silver bells, all seem to say through cares away. Christmas is here, bringing good cheer to young and old, meek and the bold. Ding dong, ding dong, glad is their song. Ding, joyful ring, all carol. One seems to hear words of good cheer from everywhere, filling the air. Oh, how they come, praising the sound, or hear the dead tell in the tones. Gather the ring while people sing songs of good cheer. Christmas is here. Ding dong, ding dong, merry, merry Christmas. Merry, 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 merry Christmas. And on without end, their joyful tone to every home.
Dawn only send on without end, their joyful tone to every home.
Ding dong, ding dong.
Wow! Wow!
Wow!
Right?
Oh my God.
Well, you get the coveted sitting ovation, yeah, man. That was tremendous.
Crazy.
That was beautiful.
I mean, if you like perfection.
Wow. That's very emotional. That's really, really good. Listen, you guys, you should be very proud of yourselves. It's hard to do that at night, let alone at 9 o'clock in the morning. Stick around. Well, if you guys don't mind, we're going to have you do 30 or 40 more. Stand by. More coming up with where can people see these kids perform?
Plug that as well.
Yeah.
I mean, do you want me to
plug now? It right now?
What these students are preparing for is the magical dinner, and they might serve something like mutton at that dinner.
I am there.
Yeah. And
great music and mutton.
That's right.
Music and mutton.
I know you had asked about Game of Thrones.
Yeah.
And it's for high schoolers, it's an appropriate version of Game of Thrones.
Okay, right, right.
There's singing and eating and
it's the Bull Valley Country Club?
It's at the Bull Valley Golf Club on December 8th and 9th. Both performances are at 8 o'clock, or excuse me, 7 o'clock.
7 o'clock.
7 o'clock. Tickets can be purchased through me. You can I can share my email with
whatever,
the station.
Well, however you sell them.
Yeah. You can email me to get tickets or call my school number, which is 815-206-2283.
What's your email?
bjoswiak@w.
So call
by the way,
school.
By the way, just the way it sounds.
Yeah. Common spelling. Yeah, sound it out.
BJOZWIAK
at WCUSD 200.
Oh, we're going to give you a link. Forget about it. We're going to give you a link. There's no way anybody's
don't forget it.
You give us that email. We'll link it through our social media and our website.
Yeah, so tickets are still available but need to be purchased by the end of the week, I would say. So if you're interested in coming to see these students sing a full night of singing, December 8th and 9th, Bull Valley Golf Club, should be a nice night.
Very nice. More coming up. This is how you know the Woodstock guys are really good. We got a texter from someone going, "That's a CD. You're scamming us."
Oh.
Huh? How about that? Yeah. We don't play CDs. Remember our slogan, much more talk, much less music.
Yeah. That's right.
And another texter, "Wow, they're wonderful. And as far as I know, it's not any of your moms." So, very nice. Let me take a quick break here to talk to our friend Colleen McGrath at Camp One Step before we get back to some great Halloween. Different show. Great holiday music. Good morning, Colleen.
Good morning, Steve. How are you?
We're doing great. We got a holiday music in studio and you on the phone. Colleen McGrath is one of the key folks at Camp One Step. Has well documented on this show her own battle with cancer, her family's battle with cancer. And as you've said many times, Colleen, nobody knows this fight more than you, but we all know somebody, don't we?
We do. We do. You know, everyone's been affected by cancer, and it's a really brutal disease. And in a lot of cases, in mine in particular, you know, the treatment was even worse than the disease itself.
So is there a better way to help on Giving Tuesday than Camp One Step? I don't think so, Colleen. I think this makes it easy for everybody. So what do you want us to do?
You know, on Giving Tuesday, as you know, it's become such a huge thing, which is awesome. You know, we have this weekend of spending and shopping for the holidays and all these deals. And today is supposed to be an International Day of Giving. You know, to give back. And we are one of the charities that has participated with Giving Tuesday since it began. And we have some special things this year, but one of them is our goal. Our goal is to raise $120,000 this year, which would send 120 kids to camp in 2018.
Wow. And today's the perfect day to donate, because starting today through the end of the year, anybody who donates, tell what the Ellen Marks Cancer Foundation is going to do to anyone who donates, Colleen.
Absolutely. We are very fortunate to know the Marks family. And the Ellen Marks Cancer Foundation will be matching dollar for dollar up to the first $25,000 we raise.
So it gets doubled.
Anyone that goes to camponestep.org and makes a donation, it'll be doubled up to $25,000 that we raise.
It costs about $1,000 to send a kid to Camp One Step, and I know we've done this a million times, but I want you to tell the story again of how when you were sick and your dad wanted to take you to camp, what you fought and why you were mad at him.
Oh, absolutely. You know, this is, I realized, you know, the season's changing, and my dad actually died on December 10th, and his birthday is December 15th, so you kind of don't realize it, but as it gets colder and as it gets darker out, you know, naturally his memory kind of comes about.
Sure.
And
it's
tough, but, you know, he didn't even realize it, but he gave me the biggest gift he ever could have given me. When I was 13 years old, I was diagnosed with stage 4 pancreatic cancer. My only other experience with cancer was my mom dying 8 months before my diagnosis of colon cancer. And I just, you know, no matter what they told me, I didn't really believe that I would live. The hospital is a scary place. Sure. And I held my mom's hand as she died. And my dad and I became this kind of inseparable duo. You know, he didn't know how to raise a teenager. I didn't know how to battle cancer and how to, you know, not miss my mom every day. And we got really honest with each other. And I told him that I couldn't do it anymore. I couldn't fight. And we went to my nurse and my doctor. And, you know, they said they wouldn't fight us if I tried one thing. They were a part of a volunteer medical team for a camp for children with cancer on Lake Geneva in Wisconsin. And they said I just had to try to go for a week. And if I gave it a try, they'd let me make whatever decision I wanted to make.
So you go, you go for a week. He picks you up. And this again, she didn't want to go.
Right.
He picks you up after a week and you were mad at him again. Why?
For only sending me for 1 week.
Right. She didn't want to leave. And by the way, she didn't want to leave so much. This is where she works. She's now dedicated her life to help these kids enjoy the camp and get that experience of at least for a week, not worrying about being sick and doctors and nurses and all the things kids with cancer have to go through. It's a beautiful place, and it deserves your support. And Colleen, I couldn't be more proud of you. And couldn't be sadder for all the loss you've suffered, but you're an inspiration to all of us. Every time I talk to you, I feel like we can do a little bit more, and we should. So on Giving Tuesday and every day, step up for Camp One Step. You can volunteer at camponestep.org. You can find out more about the organization. But the Ellen Marks Cancer Foundation is really the big news today, too. They're going to match it dollar for dollar for whatever you give up to the first $25,000. And they want to raise $120,000 by New Year's Day to send 120 kids to camp in 2018. It's a great story, Colleen, and I thank you for telling it.
Thank you. And believe it or not, this year is going to be my 20th year with the organization. So I'm so fortunate that, you know, my dad didn't know it, but he was really, he was saving my life. This place is no doubt the reason that I'm alive today. It was the only reason that I was able to fight. You know, they, you know, we, in my eyes, we have a medicine the hospitals don't have. You know, we can cure these kids' spirit and give them their childhood back.
That's nice.
And if we can cure their spirit, you know, they can go back and ready to fight the disease. And so, you know, I believe this year that, you know, we're going to hit our goal and we are going to have the opportunity to give camp to every child that needs it. Because I know my story is not unique. And I want to make sure that every kid that needs that hope, that needs that strength and laughter and friendship on all 11 programs we have throughout the year has the opportunity, just like I did, and just like I get to be alive today because of that place.
You keep up the fight. Again, the website is camponestep.org.
Org. And
last point? I didn't want to cut you off.
Oh, no, I'm sorry. You can also, we are at Camp One Step on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook if you want to go to any of those. And you can learn more about the organization, and there will also be links to donate there as well.
Great.
So, you know, we got it all set for everyone to learn more about us, to raise awareness, and help us reach that match from the Ellen Marks Foundation this year, and send a lot of happy campers to Camp One.
Amen. You got it covered. Thank you very much, and Merry Christmas. That's an amazing woman.
Yeah, it is.
She is something else every time we talk to her.
It's going to continue into our big story, too, coming up.
Which is coming up in just a second. We'll talk about that. You got a short one for me? Because these people want to hear your kids sing again. You got one?
Sure.
All right. What are we going to do?
Let's do God Rest You Merry Gentlemen.
All right. God Rest You Merry Gentlemen. Once again, the Woodstock
High School Madrigal Singers.
That's exactly right. You got it right again. All right. Whenever you guys are ready, let me hear it, please, on 720 WGN and CLTV.
Gentlemen, let nothing you dismay. Remember Christ our Savior was born on Christmas Day to save us all from Satan's power when we were gone astray. Oh, tidings of comfort and joy, comfort and joy. Oh, tidings of comfort and joy. From God our Heavenly Father a blessed angel came, and unto certain shepherds brought tidings of the same. How that in Bethlehem was born a Son of God by name. Oh, tidings of comfort and joy, comfort and joy. Oh, tidings of comfort and joy. Now to the Lord sing praises, all you within this place, and with true love and brotherhood each other now embrace. This holy tide of Christmas all others doth efface. Oh, tidings of comfort and joy, comfort and joy. Oh, tidings of comfort and joy.
It's just incredible. It's just unbelievable. Beautiful. Texter just writes, I need to tell you, my daughter recently moved out of state. My mother and girlfriend had surgery, major surgery recently. I haven't been in the Christmas spirit for a moment until I heard these guys sing. Please tell them how much it means to me. That's cool.
Unbelievable.
Really cool. More from you guys coming up in just a second. And we're also going to meet a couple of the stars of White Christmas at the Cadillac Palace, right? Yep. The Cadillac Palace Theater. Get extra tickets in case you lose the first pair. and we'll talk to them in a second. Big story right after this.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show.
All Irving Berlin's White Christmas, the musical at the Cadillac Palace Theater. When?
It is running right now through December 3rd, and you have to see it. It is a beautiful, beautiful production and rendition of White Christmas, the movie.
There's an old adage in show business, which you guys know, which is don't follow cute kids, a cute animal act, or a kick butt madrigal choir. I think that's the way
they hit all of those.
In the other order, I think.
Yeah.
Right?
And yet, Sean Montgomery and Jeremy Benton are here from Irving Berlin's White Christmas. And can you believe how good these guys are?
I cannot believe it.
I mean, you guys do this for real. This is your gig. And these guys are still going to school. I'm very impressed with them.
I think I'm going to go back to school. Could use a little more training. I don't know about Jeremy, but that's where I got my start, was in choir, for sure.
Is that right?
Children's choirs.
Singing the alto line. Yeah. That's how I learned how to sing harmony.
No joke. Growing up in Tucson, Arizona, though, we had the Tucson, Arizona Boys Chorus, which was pretty well-known choir that would go around and perform as well, like this, and also the children's choir, and then continued in high school. But yeah, choir is a great place to learn how to sing.
Well, some of these guys are going to go on and want to do what you guys have done with your careers. So what was the leap? Obviously college?
College and getting experience doing shows, if you like musical theater, do as much of it as you can.
It's all reps, right? Just get on stage as much as possible.
Get as much experience as you can.
Now, you grew up in Nashville. How'd you avoid the country life?
Well, I didn't. I thought I invented tap dancing when I was about five, uh-huh. And I discovered that I did not.
What?
Well, and so I lucked out and had a really, really great dance school and started tap dancing when I was about 10 years old. And to my parents' shock, I was naturally really good at it.
Right.
So kept doing it. And sort of led me into, I started in ballet company first, but into musical theater.
When acting. Did you realize you could sing and not just dance?
Well, I grew up singing because my family on that side, now that this is where the country comes in. We all sang that's where the choir comes in too, in church and gospel, stuff like that. So my grandmother always, she had a big book of Irving Berlin and Cole Porter.
Is that right?
The best of, and she would play the piano and I'd sing. All through the night, and everybody else in my family is going, what in the world is that song?
What's wrong with the boy?
Yeah, right.
Is Grandma still with us?
No, she's not.
How much would she love Irving Berlin?
Oh, she would love it. She didn't get to see this show, but she saw 42nd Street. She saw MAME. She saw a lot of her favorite shows that I got to
see. It's a great story. Yeah. You guys have gotten to be fast friends, I'm sure, from Texas to Chicago and back. How's the cast? You want to rat anybody out right now?
No, listen, this is something we talk about quite a bit because actually we are all incredibly close. This is our fourth year doing the show together. And,
wow.
And Jeremy and I have known each other a decade at least now. And,
that's like 30 dancer years.
It is. You know, but it translates too because you're on stage. Obviously, you know, you're a routine together. You have to dance together and sing together and finish each other's sentences. And it looks like you've been working together forever.
We have. And the four of us, especially Bob, Betty, Judy, and Phil, we all are friends in real life. You know, even before the tour started, we were hanging out in New York.
Carrie, who plays Betty, went to college together.
Yeah,
really?
College.
Oh, yeah, the sisters. They're fantastic.
Yeah, because you saw this last week, and you highly recommend it.
I love it. I mean, it's sometimes hard, you know, when you see a movie and it's an iconic movie, you think, how is this going to translate? It was seamless. It was just perfect.
Well, that's
the
a good point.
Costumes are beautiful.
Is it true to the classic, or are there changes for the stage?
Well, it's does the formula that it's its own creature for the stage, right? So if you know the movie very well, it's not like there's other movies that translated that try to stay completely strict to the movie script, and I think it's better to do what the writers of this show have done, which is give them all of the nostalgia that they come to see, but then they throw in a few surprises, which is really what you also want to see.
Right. And nobody's yelling cut.
No, right, exactly.
Right,
exactly.
And I won't give it away, but the snow, seeing the snow on the train, they took a little liberty, few liberties. Hilarious. I think it came out beautiful.
It's a great arrangement.
Oh,
it brought
in real snow.
No, it's a wonderful arrangement.
It's an actual storm. Tom Skilling creates a storm over the cast.
Steve, don't give it away.
It's Irving Berlin's White Christmas, again, through December 3rd at the Cadillac Palace.
The Cadillac.
Tickets where?
Tickets you can get BroadwayInChicago.com, and I would highly recommend it. It's a family event, too. You can bring your kids, your families. And
many generations are out there.
So nice.
You know, I know you guys aren't going to sing, because why would you compete with these guys, right? But give me a note. Give me something. Just give me something something vocal that you two could do for me right now.
5, 6, 7.
Happy holidays. Happy holidays. While the merry bells keep ringing, may your every wish come true.
How about that? And that was with me putting you guys on the spot. Thanks.
I don't know what key
sports.
That was.
Yeah,
I think it was two keys. Yeah.
It was the key of front door.
Right. Yeah.
The
yeah,
9 a.m. key.
Different key. Yeah.
Go see you. Thanks for being here, you guys. Yeah, thanks, and stick guys. Around if you want to watch these guys sing some more when we come back on 720 WGN. Just a couple of more texters here. This is from the 815. One mom here with tears. They sound absolutely awesome. We have the slowest text program on the planet. Bear with me. Thank you for the beautiful voices. The music's been comforting me at a sad time in my life. And from the 847, streaming the show from Maine. I'm literally crying happy tears listening to this beautiful music. Thank you, thank you, thank you. They just keep coming in. How about that? You guys made a bunch of listeners cry. I hope you're happy. again, you can see these guys perform by going to... Just give me a website or something where you put all your performances.
You don't actually have a website.
Oh,
there
for
is
Pete's
a
sake.
There is a if you
You're
follow
give me, if
I
you
will,
go to WGNradio.com. We'll put it all up and you can link it there.
And if you like our Woodstock High School Choir Facebook page, you can get all of the information that you would need on that site.
Dude.
Huh? Yeah, there you go.
All right, so go ahead and do
can
that.
Can I plug one of our upcoming
Absolutely,
performances?
Absolutely, do it.
We are spending the day downtown, and this afternoon, if you like what you hear, we'll be singing many more tunes at the Ogilvy Transportation Center at 4 o'clock this afternoon with Real Woodstock, which is a marketing sort of advertising company that is here to sell small businesses in Woodstock on the square.
Corporate gig, kids. Make
yeah.
it out of it.
Yeah. Yeah. So, please stop by and hear us sing and pick up some merchandise from local businesses in Woodstock at Ogilvy this afternoon at 4
it's
o'clock.
It's a great town. It's a great town. Whenever you're ready, Brian, take it away.
So this next song is titled My Lord Has Come. It is by a British composer, Will Todd, and really just paints a picture of the nativity scene and the birth of Jesus. All so right. This is My Lord Has Come.
No place for them.
Listen, it's just ridiculous. You guys are ridiculous. It's just incredibly beautiful.
Beautiful.
All right, we're going to end on something that I think you may recognize. Here, let me tell you something. First, I want to thank engineering here. Done a fabulous job. Ben, way to go. But you guys are amazing. And I want you to remember something that our friends from White Christmas told us a few moments ago when they were talking about teachers they had that they're remembering. You guys get old. Whatever you do with your lives, you're going to remember him because this is some of the best times of your life. And don't lose sight of that. Whether you're stuck in social media and got your faces buried in your phones, this is the good stuff. And you made a lot of people happy this morning. And sincerely, I really want to thank you for being here. Are you recorded anywhere? Are there DVDs or anything? Did you just ask him?
Yeah. And I'm going to do it myself.
Okay, all right. All right, one
John
more,
John is recording
this
from
has
his
to
phone
happen.
Right now.
One more. Take us out. What are you going to take us out with?
This is Jingle Bells.
Oh, I've heard of that. Okay.
Yeah. All right. Thank you again for having us. It really means a lot for us to be able to perform here and to continue this tradition of Woodstock High School on WGN. We're so happy to be here, and
we're happy to have you.
Hope that you have a happy holiday to all.
Thank you.
And applause erupted.
Thank you very much. Thank you for that amazing music. BroadwayInChicago.com for our friends in White Christmas.
Yeah, it's wonderful.
Okay. Nothing but good stuff in this 9 o'clock hour, and thanks to CLTV as well. Bill and Wendy, or Wendy and, coming up next. Stand by for that on 720 WGN.